Just for the first
time. I
just
started showing the credits right away.
Oh. Hey, oh, and welcome to episode 100 of Crippled System, where we do everything wrong, apparently.
Yep.
So, worthy tradition upheld.
Yes. I've heard that there's an important tradition of terrible news and bad things on the 100th episode, so we quit. We're out.
I'm done. Does somebody want to buy some recording equipment?
A lot of recording equipment.
Yeah. I need money.
So we have presents for people. I don't know if that's what we're starting with, but I am Jeremy, Valiant 418 on the forums, and I play Rhett and Legion, and most recently pretty much just Destiny.
My name is Katie Badhorse on the forums, and I play Candy Crush and board games and work.
You do play a lot of work.
You play a lot of work.
That's true.
Yay, work!
Yay!
I'm Nathan. There's wine in front of me for some reason.
There is. We opened wine with it. We used a screw and not even real pliers to pull the screw out because Andy owns neither a bottle opener nor anything that remotely resembles a bottle opener. I realize you have one.
I have a bottle opener. Here.
We were impatient.
Okay.
Oh, I forgot about my Leatherman.
I asked if you had a knife with a bottle opener on it.
I didn't think of a Leatherman.
That's a knife, Andy.
And who are you?
Hey.
Sorry.
What's a hammer fist?
I was Nathan.
Oh. Shush.
I'm Brian.
What were you calling that?
Okay, so I was telling Katie that I would punch a dog in the nose, and she's like, "There's no way you could punch a dog in the nose." And I was like, "No,
you were not using this motion. We were talking about if a dog was attacking you.
I was driving.
Right, you were driving. We were talking about if a dog was attacking you, just punch it in the nose. And right. I was like, "No, it'd be easier to break its jaw." And he was like,
and
"How would you manage to do that? It'd be way easier to punch in the nose." Yeah. And I was like, "No, Jeremy, it's a moving target, and you have like a downward angle on it. It'd be very difficult."
So
like,
it took me 15 or 20 minutes to figure out why she thought hitting it in the nose would be hard.
So this is punching, man. Well, I punch a lot.
You do punch a lot.
I'm just every day.
Well, the best part was, so she's like, no, it's like Hammer Time or something like that. Like, she's
Hammer Time. I said, you hammer him.
You hammer him. Okay. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Why don't we look it up? And so she looks it up, and by definition, striking something with a closed fist is a punch.
It's a type of punch.
No, that is the definition of a punch.
No.
And then a hammer fist is where you bring your fist downward on its nose.
Or any
part of its nose. Or on anything. When you're telling a story, you don't use, like, you don't use like the most general thing to paint a picture. You're always telling me what a great storyteller you are.
I am a great storyteller.
You are clearly not, because the picture that was painted in my head was you just like doing this to a dog at a very awkward angle. And I was like, this would not work in a million years.
So then she went to the Facebooks. Somebody to come up with, somebody actually said, that's called a hammer fist when you strike something at a downward angle.
Multiple somebodies. And my sister...
No, to be fair, once the first person said it, then people may have just read it and been like, yeah, that makes sense. But when Travis said it for the first time, I was like, the fuck did you come up with that?
Because that's what it's called?
Thank you. And then my sister, who's been in karate for 9 years, when we described it to her, she was like, that's a hammer fist.
And I play Crix.
And then the Kirk one's the double.
Yeah, the double. That's the Kirk strike.
Yeah.
But that's a double axe handle.
Double axe handle, yep.
Yeah, because that's what happens. You do that off the top rope.
Okay.
Double axe handle.
And Andy, what do you play? And what's your name?
My name is Andy.
Hammer fist to his
and
friends.
I do the double axe handle off the top rope. That's what I do.
I did enjoy Jackie's answer. I don't remember how she worded it.
Something about fisting.
If it's down, it's a hammer strike. If it's in, it's fisting or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Keith's got a good woman there.
That's true.
His woman doesn't invite people to his house at 3 a.m.
To be fair, she didn't invite. She just allowed it to happen.
And I lost.
And kept it a secret.
That made me sad. She was so insistent that I put pants on last night. she was like... Yeah.
And the look on your face when they first came barging into the room was like, oh my God, the house is on fire.
That's exactly, yeah. I don't know what I was dreaming, but when like my brain was processing the light and the shouting and the noise, they were firemen. That's exactly what was happening, was that the house was on fire.
That's fantastic.
I haven't seen the footage yet, but Brian said I was ready for action surprisingly quickly.
Very quickly.
Boom!
No. It was like, what?
And then
he was ready to do something. He didn't know what he was going to be doing, but he was prepared to do something.
Yeah. He was prepared to defend his home.
To let everyone know, what we did is Brian, myself, and John Aker called Nathan out on his dare to, you know, show up anytime, anywhere, and I will play Fortress America with you.
And that happened.
And it happened. We showed up at his house.
It really quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's like, I'll play Fortress America.
I would do that.
And then I was like, secondarily, wait. is the house on fire? Because if it is, we need to, like, you know, speed up really quickly. Like, I'll still play.
Yeah, we showed up at 3 a.m. yesterday morning. Or this morning.
This morning.
Yeah.
That's why Brian looks like he does.
I've been up since 2:30. I'm tired.
Brian doesn't take naps.
Your hair, by the way, was lovely.
Yeah, you're a hot mess in the morning.
I need a haircut. I have too much hair. And yeah, between the hair on top of the head and the hair on the bottom of the head, I get quite the bedhead.
It was
like
pretty
the Rocket
impressive.
Raccoon face.
Yeah. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah. I was going to get a haircut today. Instead, I took a nap.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'll bet you did. We were invited to participate, but we were out of town, sadly, so...
If you had showed up, there would have been six people. We could have done it with Dune instead.
Something tells me Katie would not have been showing up either way.
I would have shown up and then taken a nap while you
guys... Yeah, we would have still had five.
Well, now we have to figure out very inconvenient times for us to call you. Are you rescinding that challenge? or is this going to continue?
Get more elaborate.
I got to play a game of Fortress America. It was great. I lost.
We need to elevate. Sad.
Spoiler. We definitely need to elevate. We have to find out a way that we can, though.
Yeah. We'll have to work on that.
Yeah.
See, what you should have done is gone back today at noon when you knew that he'd be taking a nap.
Yes, that would have been amazing. Oh, my goodness.
Oops.
All right, presents.
No, I have an announcement.
Okay, oops. Announcements.
It's okay, Katie. It's a quick one.
That's what she said.
January 3rd at Pegasus Games in Madison, Wisconsin is going to be a 50-point steamroller.
Woo!
Where you get a bond in every one of your lists, and it's going to be awesome.
So I had a question
about
this. I
want Sean Connery.
Is it... Nice.
Yeah.
My question was...
If you win with Lazenby, you get a prize.
Do you roll a bond?
No.
Or do you just like, that bond's amazing, I'm taking that one?
Just pick one.
Interesting.
There's some good ones. Yeah. Do you like Abbey 1 or just Abbey 2?
I think Abbey 1 has a place, especially in the meta right now, but I'm not very good with her. I have trouble keeping her alive.
Oh, I thought of a great bond for you. A great bond for you, Jeremy.
What's that?
Great bond.
Okay.
Extended control range is one of the Legion options. So you can have one of your beasts counts as being in your control range.
Sure, twice as far away. Range.
You know who you could put that on? Goddamn Proteus! And then all of your beasts have extended control range because he can force... He's got
further
hurting.
Away, he's got hurting,
so
yes.
He'll be double away, so your caster can be like on your table edge. It's like your warcaster is Proteus. You have a backup warcaster, because then when Proteus dies, you still have a warcaster. It's like Bethan and Belphegor, but for anybody.
Is Proteus really bad?
Yes.
Jeremy thinks so.
Proteus is unplayable trash.
He's a warlock.
Have we sold any unplayable trash shirts with anyone? I don't look at
it. We sold
shirt.
One. I saw we sold one.
I haven't bought one yet, but I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'm going to be wearing that shirt. That's going to happen.
I like that you can buy you can customize the shirts and be like baby tees. I was gonna like get someone I know like a shirt that was like a bait for the baby that just like play with trash.
Nice. I should get that for my niece.
Yeah. Yes,
unplayable.
Just
trash
a picture of Annalisa's little baby niece.
No, Juliana.
Oh, Juliana.
It'll just
yeah.
Be your big face.
My
on her
giant
belly.
Face on her belly.
She's only like this big.
She's like a week and a half old. I met her week and a half old niece this weekend. So
yeah,
that'd be oh my god, that would be amazing because if you get a T-shirt for that small of a child, child's gonna outgrow it. That means it's gonna go to like Goodwill or something,
and then someone.
Somebody else is going to get that
gonna
for their
be
baby.
In circulation. Maybe.
I just want to buy a bunch of them and just give them to Goodwill. People are like, what is this?
You're going to be walking around like a Walmart and you suddenly see unplayable trash.
Yeah. Donate them to an orphanage.
Aww.
I wasn't really thinking that deeply, but...
All right. My first.
But I'm excited to see all the bonds people bring. I've already had people tell me a couple I hadn't thought of. Like the legit Legion one that to me looks very broken off the front, while Kate is finding herself, is there's one of them is +2 defense. You put that on a forced evolution Angelius with Abby and your defense 19.
Yes. No.
She wants you to open that.
Or defense 17 Arcane.
Or defense whatever the new guy, whatever his name is, Zuriel.
Proteus?
Zuriel. No, not
all right,
Proteus.
What it gives, is this happening first?
Yeah.
Okay.
What? You really don't like it?
That's Jeremy and me.
I don't know what it is about wine, but it's just... Do we have to open yours first? Is that what we're doing?
Apparently.
All right.
Katie demands it.
Wait, for Brian, I want to set...
Well, let Nathan open his first.
Yeah, okay, you gotta wait.
All right, so...
Can I give away my Christmas gift to you guys?
Yeah,
sure.
My Christmas gift to you guys get to ride in my car when we go to conventions. Because that's where all my money went.
Merry Christmas
to everybody.
Andy got you one of the seats in his
but
car.
But Andy has a new car, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
All right, I got really a gift bad. From the Shades. I have a pie crust protector. See, that's topical because Katie and I discussed our mutual love of baking
that's
earlier.
That's true, you did.
And the pie crust protector came in Pythons, which makes sense.
A Python, but yes.
Yay!
They're linked.
It's a hat.
It could be, I suppose.
Or a frisbee.
That really hurt because there's the hard knob on top of my baseball cap, so and it just went into my skull.
The thing that cracks me up about this is if it's like advertised like how awesome it is and it doesn't get scratched or anything and put in the dishwasher and then you use a carrot. It's like, it can do that stuff, but we recommend that you're actually very gentle with it.
So what's happening here?
So, Brian, I thought really, really hard about your gift and I was super excited about it. And when I came up with it, I was like, Jeremy, you know what would be the best thing for Brian?
This thing.
Katie was super excited.
I hope he opens it and a woman pops out.
And I knew for a fact that Brian would like this present.
She's
as well.
She's pretty light, so I like it already.
Already he likes it. And a contortionist, so win.
Skill. I'm a little afraid, to be honest. Oh, it's a brown box. She knows me.
I knew you'd like it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, paper.
So as Brian's opened this up,
it's paper.
John Spencer.
No, it's nothing because you went out and bought it yourself, you fucker.
She was literally like had picked out all the supplies to make you a box for Caverna, like she did for Lords of Waterdeep for us, and like she was like going to the store to buy the materials a few weeks ago, and she's like, "Isn't this the best idea ever for Brian?" I was like, "It is." And here's how I know that he already bought one online, and she's like, "Oh, well, fuck him."
I like it more than the present from last year.
Oh, I don't remember what I got you last year.
I don't either. It's an improvement.
So you opened up a empty
an box. Empty box. An empty box.
Just like a woman.
All right, what are you talking about, Andy?
I was going to say, John Spencer was just talking about punching a dog.
Okay.
That punching a dog while it's biting you is quite hard. Take my word for it. I've got the scars to prove it.
All right, then.
You gotta go for the neck and the head. I mean, unfortunately, I love dogs, but if a dog's coming at you, you gotta be fast and quick because they can do some
fucking
damage.
Up. Yeah, like, you pretty much have two options. Like Katie said, you can try to rip its jaw off because that is a thing you can do to dogs.
Yeah.
Or you can hit it really, really hard in the nose because it's the most tender spot.
If you can somehow shim it behind it too. But if you
that's tough.
You can't rip a dog's jaw off unless you're like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Like, their jaw muscles are
relatively weak. But you no. Once you get it past, like, if you can grab it while its mouth is open to bark, like its jaw is actually fairly weak.
It's easy,
but the timing is tough, and not getting your hand cut off is tough.
I heard that their jaws were super strong.
Yeah. Once like, the, once the they're neck, like here,
yeah.
If they're here, it's just like
yeah. Gotcha. But it's gonna be There's a pivot point. It's so teeth are be sharp.
Yeah, no, like that's what but I told Katie. That's why you punch it in the nose.
Like I've held mouth.
Do we have a dog to back
you
on?
We don't, unfortunately.
And like they like squirm and they have really hard heads and it hurts very hard when they hit your face with them.
All right, let's see what.
All right, Andy, what'd you get?
It's not a hat.
It might be.
It's a boat.
It's a pirate hat.
It's a pirate hat. It's a boat.
To be fair, it does look like a pirate hat a lot.
Looks
the way
like
she
a
wrapped
pirate
it.
Hat. Like I should just.
You should just kind of wear it like that.
Yeah, don't open it. Just have that is great. Hold on, I'm taking a picture of your Christmas bicorn hat. Although it's on the stream, which is kind of like a picture, but I'm taking a picture
well,
too.
Well, it's a bad angle from the stream, though.
All right, Andy, look at me.
Hello,
Boondaba.
Katie, somebody said that I thought you were the nice one.
Who thought she was the nice one?
Everyone, all of our listeners think she's the nice one.
And she doesn't lie. She's honest. She's like, I'm a terrible person.
I'm a terrible, horrible human. I know. It's because she's so cute.
Is there a point of entry? Nice one.
That's.
Is there?
I mean, the spider can get you from any side.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Oh. I think you mentioned that you like this.
Oh.
I hope it's a pirate hat.
Is it an opossum bear?
It is not.
No.
Oh, I know who it is.
Do you?
I have never seen it though. But
what?
I don't know who he is.
Oh my goodness.
Totoro.
Oh, it's Totoro.
It's his neighbor Totoro.
That is topical. Because we were at the Pancake Cafe this morning, and the girl who was probably 18 who was working at the cash register had drawn cartoon characters like on their chalkboard.
Including
and
Totoro.
Somebody, was it John? Yeah, John Acker's like, why is there a blue Pikachu? And it was Totoro.
Totoro.
Yeah.
We almost got you.
Probably, for the stories we were thinking about, she was 18.
Yeah.
Oh, easily.
Because
always has been.
Yeah. So. We seriously almost got you a Minecraft sword to go with your Minecraft pickaxe. We had it in our hands. And then we were like, oh, but that's back-to-back Minecraft. We'll get him Totoro instead.
Oh, I didn't bring his birthday present. Not that it's Minecraft topical at all.
But it might have been, theoretically.
Yeah. All right.
So for
no,
the...
He's awesome.
Anyway,
He does feel like he's really well-worn. Like he's been around for a
no,
while.
He's new.
I can see the...
He's just designed it. It's like when you get the jeans that are already pre-broken in.
Yeah.
That's a pre-broken in
cuddly.
He is
very soft and cuddly. I will admit that.
I like him. I like him a lot.
So for these packages... I bought a variety of items, and then I randomly shuffled them together, and I put things in a bag. So there are four grab bags of gifts. We literally
don't know what is what.
That's what I did, except mine were pre-shuffled.
Sure. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, Katie. That may be the awkward gift. So there's three other gifts.
Is it just a dirty pair of your underwear?
There is an awkward one in here.
An awkward one. Only one for Brian.
There's two things in every one of these.
Okay. Do you need help, Katie Marie? No, you two got it.
She's got manhandle it covered.
All right, so
ooh, iTunes,
nice.
Oh, she sensed the iTunes gift card.
She did smell it money. Funny, yeah.
Fantasies. Yeah. That's not awkward at all.
Yeah. Sensual body mist.
Sensual body mist.
Oh man, this is my brand too. Damn it, Katie, I wanted the sexist fantasy. Oh, wait,
I hope you just
sexiest fantasy. I thought it said sexist fantasy.
No, sexiest.
That'd be the greatest cologne ever. I wear sexist fantasies. It smells like cooking.
So you can just spray that on the dogs and everywhere you're in the house. There you go.
Oh, no. She's opening it. Oh, dear God.
I didn't think this all the way
what
through.
What have you done?
Oh,
dear God. What have you done?
I never considered this as a possibility.
This is a terrible thing that's happening.
Covering the drinks.
Yeah. Just cover everything.
I'm going to wait to spray it.
All right. You're going to surprise spray someone
going,
later?
You're going.
This one's heavy.
All right. Let's see what you got. If you can even open it. There we go.
Oh, I can open it. I'm a man.
Yeah.
I got an individual cookie cinnamon roll.
Wow, you're just getting all the big skillet.
There's still something else in that bag.
Oh, and there's still something else in the bag.
It's probably cinnamon.
That is. It's a Red Robin Yum gift card.
Ooh. Yum.
Wait, do you like Red Robin?
He's going fair enough. You like it enough to have a gift card for
him. Do you guys have two choices?
All right, Andy, you can pick. I'll go last. Yeah, aren't they amazing? They are crack cocaine in candy form.
Well, you know what's even better from Cracker Barrel?
There's nothing better.
No, the Red Hots.
Nope, these are better. These are better. Disagree.
Red
these are better.
Hots, Red Hots there are so
we're
better.
Introducing people to the Sour Balls from Cracker Barrel, which are amazing. I didn't realize Katie was going to bring them tonight. Now I'm wishing I'd bought two jars.
Because
there's going
to
be none
left. My left hand or my right hand?
I'll go with the left.
All right, yeah, Jeremy, get that over to Andy.
I'll go with the thicker one.
And then this will be Jeremy. That's what she said.
That's what she said. All right, go ahead, Andy.
Jeremy's.
Lay it on us.
It's cylindrical.
What are you doing?
I am guessing, so far we got, you know, you got the sexist fantasies, the cologne, and I got the more baking stuff. So far, karma has shuffled these well.
So far, Nathan should be in the kitchen baking.
This is a cylinder, and I'm guessing it's oatmeal.
I'm going to hope a candle. I'm going to hope a put you in the mood candle.
That would be amazing.
It'll be overlaid.
If it's oatmeal, I'll be pretty happy because I'm poor.
Think of, I'll say something terrible always on opening that. Dave Attell, who's great, on his stand-up special CD, he talks about how he likes to be romantic with himself, so he lights candles, and then he tries to shoot them out like a carnival game.
That's pretty terrible.
It is
pretty terrible.
So Brian gives a diabetic in the group.
The pirouettes, which are amazing.
Ooh. Oh, are they the vanilla ones? I got those, like, yeah, oh my God. I brought those vanilla flavored ones like 2 years ago, remember, to one of our first podcasts?
I do remember
that. We could not stop eating
them. We could not. We ate them on mic. I remember
that. There's another thing. There's two presents in
there. There's always two things in there.
There is?
Katie, why did you open my Sour Balls in front of people? Now I have none of the Sour Balls.
It is a gift card for Fandango.
Fandango.
I took a red one. Ooh, a movie.
That's exciting.
There you go. Pain Train.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian.
Now you got to use it on a Pain Train.
And go see Birdman again.
And what does Jeremy get?
I'm nervous now.
Hey, did you get the awkward?
No, the awkward one is the one you got, obviously.
Oh. It had a 75% chance of being awkward.
Of being incredibly awkward. All right, I have.
75.
Well.
Oh, y'all are jealous. Nope, this one's for me. Not for you.
Reese's
Miniatures. And on top of it, I get something else. And a Walmart gift card. You guys all
lose. It would have been pretty amazing if you got them Twinkies.
I got that actually would have been fantastic. But this is amazing. Thank you, Brian. You may not have these.
All right.
And mine are. Why are my Sour Balls not right near me? Why
is everyone else? I'm holding them hostage.
No, they're mine.
What? Why does Cracker Barrel have to be on the other side of the fucking town?
So here's these.
Okay.
They're all the same thing, except they're probably all different inside. These are randomly packaged classic science fiction miniatures, like little cute guys. Nice. So. Andy, we'll give you the left hand, right hand choice again. White bow or blue bow? You want blue bow? All right. And we can trade after we open them, you know.
I'm going, very full right
Brian's
now,
already into Brian? His. Let's see who Brian
okay,
gets.
Okay, let's see who Brian got.
It's weird to open a container with something in it. Brian? I got. Thank you. E.T.
Nice.
E.T.
Phone home. All right. I got mine.
Okay, the Shays are racing.
Yep. It's in a baggie, so I don't know what I got yet.
I got. Oh my god. I got Spock with the Ponfar.
Ponfar weapon.
That is amazing. I'm not trading. This is amazing.
I got Han Solo.
Oh, I'm trading. Katie, trade me.
Actually, Katie, you did not get Han Solo.
You got Malcolm Reynolds.
You got Captain Malcolm Reynolds.
Oh my god, I want to trade so much. Katie, trade me. Trade me.
I'm this game.
Mine.
No! Jeremy Shay! Give me this one.
You got horny Spock. I stick with your horny Spock.
I did get horny Spock. That's true. Which is great until Katie opened Malcolm fucking Reynolds.
I was hoping somebody would get Malcolm Reynolds.
That's just the dueling.
Yeah, that's the dueling. The Ponfar was the... That's what he dueled was when he was horny from Ponfar.
No, that's when he like does the hand thing with what's her name from... Yeah, all right.
That's in the TV show, not the movie, though.
I got Tron.
Which is okay. It's not as cool as the one.
Hey, fuck you. Tron was my Star Wars when I was a kid, so this is the best.
Oh, all right. All right, hello.
I used to make the transports with like the stompy feet. I made those out of Duplo blocks when I was a kid.
That's pretty cool. I have the choices
here. Oh, look, you could get Jame.
Oh, my God. If I have Dredd in here, I will go.
You will lose your shit.
I'll lose my shit.
If you get Dredd, it would be
That would amazing. Be kind of amazing.
I don't think he's an option.
He
look,
is.
There's Clear and...
I don't. Oh, yeah, Dredd is totally an option. There he is. Dredd and RoboCop and, yeah, the Mars Attacks guys.
Oh, I wish Nate had gotten Here's RoboCop.
As long as it's not a duplicate, I'm happy.
I have a comment about...
Oh, it's two.
What?
Really?
There's two of them in here.
I don't think that's intentional.
There's like a ball of something.
Maybe it's broken.
Maybe the head came off.
Oh, I think it's broken.
I think it broke.
Oh, no.
Well, you're opening it so violently.
I think he broke it.
Or it could be a removable helmet.
I think I know what it is. And it is actually pretty fucking amazing.
Oh my gosh, it's Mars Attacks.
It's Mars Attacks with a separate helmet.
Mars Attacks is 1 out of 72 chance.
Wow. Yeah, rare. Baby. Yeah, that's one of the rare ones.
What's the rare one? Well, how rare is mine? Mine's 1 out of 12, Lane.
Yeah, yours is not rare.
How the fuck?
Mine's not rare, ET's not rare.
Mine's sort of rare.
Yeah.
This is a little bit rare. Jane's rare.
Do not run. We are your friends.
So, you mentioned RoboCop. What I'm annoyed with, so the interview can't be played in America because we're afraid of North Korea.
Yes, which
why
is funny.
Why couldn't they be offended by like other movies?
Things that are terrible?
Yeah, Kim
Jong-un could just hate Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
He needs to hate Turtles and RoboCop. We need to get him to hate the better movies.
RoboCop could have been one of those movies, though, because we did show horrible things that our country did to other countries at that point.
Yeah,
at the very beginning of RoboCop.
Yeah.
But we didn't do them to North Korea.
Oh, my God. He's fucking awesome.
I think everybody got pretty awesome ones.
Well, to be fair, Red Dawn had to change their enemy from being...
China.
Just because Jeremy didn't get it.
I am so sad I didn't get Malcolm Reynolds. I has a sad...
At least it'll be in your household.
That is true. That does save it a little
bit. Unless she takes
it to work.
Yeah.
I hate you so much. I'm going to steal it from your work. Your super secure work.
My super secure work.
Hey, very cool.
Where's those beans?
Awesome.
No more sour beer. Fine. I need more sour balls.
Did you see what I put on the tortoise?
He has a bow.
He has a bow.
Merry Christmas to all of us.
All right, so present opening's done.
Huzzah.
Present.
Hey. End of episode.
I have a giant box full of Japanese food from Hawaii.
Holy crap.
We had hypothetically an actual war machine topic that was going to be talked about.
Yeah, I think we should talk about it.
Did we?
Mm-hmm. We did.
What was
it's
it
topical
about?
For you, Katie.
I think if it's what it is, I don't think any of us have the ability to
we
talk
don't,
about
we,
it.
We I've
played
really.
Against it.
Well, yeah, kind of. All right, we'll bring up the topic.
Well, it was Nathan's idea.
No, it was Andy's idea.
It was actually my idea.
So anyway, we want to at least briefly mention that yes, we're aware that World War is a raging discussion on the internet. And yes, we're aware that the thread for babies about how to beat Bradicus exists, because we have been on the forums before. And yes, we're aware that the World War is a problem. And
it's
yes,
not a problem.
It is a problem.
It's very overpowered list.
It's very overpowered. It's a problem.
Too overpowered. Now. Yeah. More,
yeah. Whether it's too overpowered, I don't know. But it's definitely overpowered enough that it is going to single-handedly skew the meta for a certain amount of time.
It isn't that it's overpowered and unbeatable. It's the problem that the bell curve of... There are lists that have a good matchup against it, and there's lists that are defeated by it easily.
Yep.
And it's not an even bell curve. Like
no.
It's one of those lists you have to build a list specifically to counter it. If your tournament lists... If one of those lists isn't designed just for Radagast, you're done.
It's Lich 2 pre any of his nerfs.
Well, I think we're to the point where there's too many things that you have to have listed.
Right, and that's the real problem. So they've done a really good job recently in even things like Epic Morvana that was really, really good. Like, they did these things that were really, really good, but you could maybe throw just like 3 or 4 points into your list or change your list just a little bit, and it could be good against Epic Morvana, or it could be good against whatever. And there haven't been there haven't been the Epic Haleys. There haven't been the Lich 2s of the world where it's like, you have to specifically have a list that is built from the ground up, all 50 points designed to beat this one list in order to have a chance against it. Like, they've been really good about not doing that, and this time they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
This right. list, unless you play Legion, and I will say that, if you play Legion, you probably can just stick with your normal list. You have Saren? Great. Play Saren.
How long has World War been out?
It's been in existence
for 2 months?
Gen Con.
About 3 months, yeah.
Gen Con. Knowledge of the listing. The book came out at was available at Gen Con, so we could see the theme force.
Yeah. I've been always looking at things always with an open mind. Sure. Whenever I see any kind of controversy or things popping up.
Sure.
And to me, this really feels like another one of those situations.
The only difference, in my opinion, though, is this list is being played. People are facing it in competitive lists. Like, people are dealing with it in actual
times
that are happening now across the country,
and they're getting destroyed by it.
Yeah, it's not that.
I played
the issue with it. Number one, it screws you over by blocking line of sight to his entire army.
Yep.
Which you have to be able to attack without being able to see things, yep. which is pretty non-existent.
Yep.
Then it's got rough terrain in your way as well.
Yep.
Which is really mm-hmm. screw you overy.
Yep.
Then it has super high armor.
Yep.
Which is going to fuck over a lot of things.
Yep.
And then on the flip side, it has spell hate.
And a spell hate.
Which is really good. And then flip side, it murders high defense armies. Yep. It murders high armor armies. Yep. It has a very long alpha strike, so it's an assassination nightmare.
Yep.
It's a scenario nightmare because all those lights are unmovable armor 21s. Like, you can't even push or throw or drag them out of the zones.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like gasping the day the list didn't have it has such few weaknesses. It's just too ridiculous.
There is no weakness. Like, yeah, really, it doesn't have a. That's the thing. It doesn't have a Achilles heel. Really,
it has P Danny, but this doesn't have. There's no P.
So here's the thing with this list that you could
Purify is the closest it has to an Achilles.
Purify heel. Is somewhat good against it, but not like ball breakingly. It's good.
It screws up. It takes the Radagast assassination off the table.
Yes.
Completely.
Yes.
Because which is good.
Because he'd have to recast synergy.
Which means that he has to go first, which means he's benefiting fucked. From a synergy change.
So correct.
Purify is one of the things. Like I said, I was sight, so Legion is okay with them.
Legion in general has good answers for both the line of sight problem and the rough terrain problem.
Right. Both of my lists do as well, which Roadhogs specifically are a surprisingly good answer to them, so I'm lucky in that pigs have a model that specifically counters 90% of the things that are bad.
I think that the pig list I thought that I was going to just sit down and raffle stomp it. Like, yeah. I really did. Like, on paper, I understood it was good, but people hadn't really been talking about it that much. And I knew how it was played. I knew exactly what was in it. And I took my Legion list, which, I think Legion across the board has the best matchups. Without like building a list from the ground up, it has the best matchups, and I came within 2 dice rolls of losing,
right,
to the list, and that's the problem. Is even with an advantaged matchup, the list does everything well, and people have said, "Oh, you got to fix the sentry stones. You got to fix the sentry stones." The sentry stones aren't the goddamn problem.
Well,
the fact that you can trigger a synergy chain off push is the problem.
No, it isn't. No, you are very very.
That
wrong.
List can't touch high defense without that problem.
No. Sentry stones, you're right that that's true-ish, although it's not actually that true, because instead of the fury you spend on the push, if you boost an attack, you're still going to hit your defense 16 model more than half the time anyway. Like,
you might hit with the boosts, maybe.
And you have 2 initials, and you have good chance. I mean, it's not, the push isn't the problem. The push is a lie. The sentry stones are the problem, because the issue is, Jeremy, that he gets the solid wall
sure.
at least twice.
I'm aware.
That's the issue. If he only has 1 turn...
As a Legion player, that affects me not at all.
But
and the fact that the push works
is
away...
Which is
still
wrong.
No.
The reason you're wrong is because to you, that doesn't seem like the problem.
You can wait out.
You.
You could wait out 2 turns of the trees. You could say, now I have high defense and you have a problem.
No,
there's
because
nothing
after 2
the list
turns
has a
of the trees,
with.
You're dead.
You're not, though. You're not. You're not just dead on the table. It's bad. You're on your back foot. You haven't straight lost if you have something he has trouble doing. Right now, offensively, there's nothing the list can't do. Nothing. Like, if you took away all of its defensive tech, it would still be a list that has no problems offensively. It RFPs, it hits high defense, it hits high armor, it has lots of attacks, and it's, like, it just doesn't have any problems offensively.
The push building synergy is only an issue if to help build up the assassination chain, I think. Because it isn't that big of a thing.
No, because that's what lets people get mowed through a unit of high-def infantry. Like, otherwise, a unit of def-warded zealots is a problem for it. Defensive buffed hex hunters is a problem for it. They aren't killing them, but they don't. The thing is, what they do is they build up the synergy chain, and then one hammer fist guy goes, "Hit you, step forward. Hit you, step forward. Hit you, step forward."
And kills five guys.
Yeah, five guys.
I mean, if all of your battle group is doing power attacks that you can kill five infantry models, yeah. I don't.
But they aren't all doing it. The first three are doing that, and then the rest of his army is mauling you.
Well, I mean, you're only up to match six or seven or eight. I mean, I guess I don't think the push. I think the push. I think it's a threat, but I've. Of all the things I've seen be a problem, suddenly an army who's pushing models for that plus one.
It's never been a problem before this list. And you talk to people that have faced it in tournaments, and they're like, I thought I had an answer because high defense, and then this interaction screwed
me. I've never seen someone say I thought, because even like, because if it was high defense in the past, people would just be like, they'd boost the first couple attacks, and then they would be fine. I mean, a war machine would just...
But they're not just... The difference between a push and... You can exactly plan whether the push will work.
Yes.
And we all know how much of a problem it is if dice are actually in the... Like, it just takes dice out of the game. Can I build up a synergy chain to hit high defense?
You know what else takes dice out of the game? Your opponent not being able to attack you for an entire turn.
Yes. Which is really bad.
I still say that's a bigger issue.
But the thing is, he still buys one turn even without the Fury on the Sentry Stones.
Yeah.
Does it matter which one's the bigger issue if they're both issues?
Well, it's like Gatsby 2.
Yes, because
like...
I'm right and your husband's wrong. Okay. If you don't punch a dog, you hammer fist it. Back me up here, Katie.
Yeah, you're fucking.
To be fair, right. that just sounds righter. I mean, it just sounds correct. If you can punch a dog or hammer fisting sounds more effective.
Yeah.
Even not knowing exactly what those were, you're going to hammer fist something. Plus, it sounds cool.
But yeah, so the point is, yes, it's a problem. Do I think it's going to be eradicated? I don't know. I really don't know. The meta is trying to adjust for it. And the part of the problem with Gatsby and why it took a really, really long time before we ever saw a second nerf is the entire community was just like, I'm going to hate on this list. I'm going to build a list that beats it. So if we all do that in the first 3 months before Privateer Press has any inclination, because they're not going to change something in the first 3 months. Like, if we all have a list that just beats it in the first 3 months, they're going to be like, oh, there's clearly not a problem.
And the issue is that we don't. The
thing is that they do pay attention to what happens.
They do, but they're not going to errata something that quickly. Unless it's the only thing they see happening at a tournament, which it won't be that bad. But it's going to be everywhere. You're going to see it at tournaments.
I don't think 12 factions have...
I agree.
An equal opportunity to build an anti-Bradagus list. Even if you specifically build an anti-Bradagus list, not all 12 factions can do it to the point where they are winning more than 55% of the time.
Scorn,
and they're devoted anti-Bradagus.
Scorn can come up with something, I think.
Scorn does it easily because Scorn has Eyeless Sight and Pathfinder on a stick that
Legion
they
can
just
can
throw
out there. Legion can do it trivially. I think that people are right that Haley 2 in some ways gives Signar game against it.
Yeah.
It winds up being a really weird match, but you have game against it.
Yeah.
Other than those three factions, I don't think anyone has a good answer to it. Like, they have answers they can come up with.
Lukant, I mean, anybody with...
Oh, maybe Convergence.
Lukant, I think, is really good about it because he has the purification. And you don't normally bring an assimilator with Lukant, but if Bradagus sticks around being popular, I would. Because even at Rat 3, that ground pounder, you're going to place it somewhere and you're going to be able to kill stones.
Which is important.
Yeah, because you have a no line of sight. Like, even at Rat 3, because they're stones, you still hit on anything but snakes.
Yep.
And normally I wouldn't bring... And it's not terrible to splash an assimilator into Lukant because you still have a Weapon Master that you can put a positive charge on. So,
which is good.
Yeah, Lukant with an assimilator, I think, has good game against it. Because it's Pathfinder, attacks without looking, and has purification, and is good against armor. So
killing Shifting Stones, I agree, is very important. The game that I should have lost, that I won by two die rolls, I killed all three, a stone in all three units of stones on turn two.
Yeah.
And I still almost lost to an assassination. Like, the problem is, like, yeah, the stones are amazing, and they take it to, like, 473 on a 1 to 10 point scale, but it's still a fucking 15 on a 10 point scale without any stones in play. Like, that's the real problem.
No, because without the stones in play, I think it was the Bradagus trying to beat back around an Archangel, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Successfully beat backing around an Archangel.
Yeah.
You synergy him up.
Yeah, I know what you do. The point is, without a Colossal sitting directly in front of your caster, Bradagus sans Shifting Stones isn't going to be able to get to your caster as
reliable. He still is. I mean, it's still like Moloch Karn, right? Beatback's not as good a sidestep, but he can do it a few more times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's still the Moloch Karn problem.
Yeah. But it's more tangible. The issue with, you can math out a shifting stone. You can math out two shifting stones. When you get three shifting stones, the options are so bizarre that you just can't even math it out.
And three shifting stones that you can't do anything about.
Yeah.
Because they're behind Forest and they have shield, like 14 shield guards. It's just like, why do I get out of bed in the morning?
Yeah.
Yes. And maybe that's the fix. Maybe they just take it down to two shifting stone units. It's still bad.
And then everybody who bought a third unit is very angry.
That's why they won't make that their change. But
they won't. I don't know. I don't think they will definitely. I don't think they will change it. I just, their theme forces are up and down.
For every Epic Vale theme force, there's a Gareth theme force.
Well, it just seems recently a lot of the theme forces, like the Arcadius theme force is amazing. Yep. The Kalissa theme force is amazing. Yep. The Denny 1 theme force, or Denny 2, who is the Body and Soul. Yeah, Body and Soul is crazy amazing. This is amazing. Like, they're really, there's a lot of recent theme forces that are baller good.
Yes. And that's, to be fair, I think they're taking in, Privateer Press is taking in the feedback that theme forces are unplayable trash and saying, oh, well, they don't have to be. We can make a theme force that's fluffy. And it does something a little bit unique and different and is fun to play and is playable in a competitive meta. But I think they're still finding their feet a little bit. And the Bradagus one makes me think that they overstepped the wrong direction a little bit.
They're like, hey, if we make these theme forces, the model will be fucking amazing. Everybody will play this theme force. Well, theme force, if well designed, should have restrictions and benefits that balance out to make it exactly as attractive as not making a theme force.
I don't think they expected it to be as spammy as what it is and for people to take it to that extent.
I think my guess would be in testing, nobody thought to play a million of the light.
That
would be my guess.
I think that just didn't come up.
How could that not come up after? I mean, Amon has been around forever.
Yep.
The Vyros 2 theme force with the Griffin spam. I mean, they have to know that if you give a caster synergy, people are going to put 12 lights in his list.
Yeah, they have to know that.
I would think so, but like, I don't know. I agree. It seems like something got missed somewhere. They've admitted that with the Arcanist, it was just a misprint. Like, that was not the final version of testing. And so the Arcanist never actually stopped playing.
Admitted or claimed.
Well, either way. But my point is, if the Kalissa Force had seen play the way it was printed in No Quarter, it'd have been just as stupid. It would have been much more one-dimensional, but that one-dimensional would have been baller as hell.
The Kalissa list against any caster that doesn't have stealth would have just auto-won.
Yeah, I win. You have stealth, I don't auto-win, and my gimmick is probably trash.
Well, and then you just bring a caster who's good against stealth. Although it's Rhett, so that's not their forte. But
even then, her list is just really good against
it. Yeah. Even if your caster is stealth, as long as they don't have Shadow Pack, you're still fine. Just knock a heavy off the table every turn.
Or two.
Or two.
If you could build it so you just knock two heavies off the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that's the thing is...
But that doesn't exist.
I think it's something that we would revisit in 6 months. After it's been on the scene for a while,
I disagree. If this list runs over TempleCon and this list runs over Adepticon, then this will be the only list in town. And I think
what
it could
be
happen.
Interesting though is that if people build specifically against it to see what list is built to counter lists that counter Bradagus,
because Circle has options that run very very differently than Bradagus does.
Yeah.
So I think the race that's going to happen between now and TempleCon especially is, can a Circle player come up with a list that beats all of Bradagus's bad matchups better than a non-Circle player can come up with a list that beats Bradagus and whatever that other pairing might be.
Yeah. He's
Zappity.
Grumble.
I feel bad about bringing it up because all the chatter that was on the site was basically, this has been talked to death already.
Yeah.
And we just talked to
which
death.
Is fine, but
which is fine, but I was thinking that
not everybody listens to us reads the Muse forums.
Right, that's the thing is yes, a lot of people like, and as I said, it's on the Muse forums, but we have lots of listeners that don't care about, like, they just don't read Muse. A lot of people don't.
Everyone reads Muse.
That is untrue.
It's number one source of information for some people.
For some people. That is true.
I'm still in the boat of wait and see. I mean, I can definitely see if TempleCon and the other events really kind of show a big showing for Bradagus.
I mean, have you played against it yet?
I haven't.
Yeah. I played against it once,
terrifying. It is terrifying.
I thought it wasn't that good, too, until I played it. Like, I told our local Circle player that it was not that good and I was going to kick his ass.
Yeah.
And then he just about rolled me off the table.
Yeah.
Without even really trying.
And he had only played it a couple times.
He'd only played it twice.
It wasn't like in the hands of anybody who's a tournament caliber player, this thing is goddamn amazing.
But didn't you tell me the only reason you feel that you so helpless?
Yeah, so yeah. Rolls? Well, it wasn't just the two bats. So here's the thing: is he got on my caster with two attacks with me on no transfers.
Yeah,
he had two attacks left, and he managed to with Bradagus at Mat-A-Million, Snake Eyes one to hit and not roll well on the other damage roll.
Yeah.
So those two rolls don't fluff. He just straight kills Abby.
Yeah.
Now, what I told Katie, and what Jeff may or may not realize from our game, was he actually screwed up his assassination run. He should have had three Fury more on his caster. And I don't survive five attacks with no transfers on Abby.
Yeah.
Shockingly, after a synergy chain.
How should he have had three more Fury? Did he just cast his spell pointlessly?
He misplaced where his models were, and so he had to take three extra beatback attacks to get to me.
Oh, yeah, I remember
like,
that.
He literally put his own model in his way and had to like charge at a bad angle and then beat back around my Colossal.
Right.
Like, he should have had three more attacks on my caster.
Yeah.
And then I'm just super dead.
He beat back his own model?
He beat back around my Gargantuan.
He had to charge a different model to beat back from a worse angle because one of his own guys was in the way. Okay. If that guy was in the way, he could have charged a much
tighter
angle.
Nothing is more fun than putting a model in your own way. And you're like, it's the best.
It's a good feeling.
I just took tomorrow off from work. I'm going to sleep
for Brian's going to sleep forever. But anyway, yeah. Like, I honestly thought this... I thought it was a bunch of hype. And then I played against it once, and it is not hype. If I had not been playing Legion, I would have lost that game against someone who played it twice.
When a new thing comes out, there's always internet white noise about it, and that's normal. But I guess this time, from the various forums I read, I saw people that I respect a bit more kind of in panic mode, and then there was some more play experience, and then there were some UK events where it just steamrolled some people and some other places, and I'm like, and we're not, and like I said, I haven't played it, you know, I haven't been playing that hard lately, so I haven't really faced it, but
it's almost like a Boy That Cried Wolf thing as a community. Like Andy talked about, this happens over and over and over again, so it's another wait and see thing. This time the wolf is real.
Well, yeah, and people won't identify because they freak out all the time. So I mean, I understand why you say that.
It was like the whole thing with units out of formation. You can't cast friendly buffs on them.
Oh my god!
Everybody thought that was going to be the end of the fucking world. Colossals were going to be put onto the game. Oh my god! It's going to be the end of the fucking world.
Yep.
This
time the wolf is real. Or at least there is an animal there. Maybe it's just a dog or a fox, but we have to check
because
it looks like a
goddamn
wolf. It
looks rabid.
Even the Calissa theme forest. I played against that. And that's not fucking horrendous too, but it's
and you played against the current actually legal version of it.
Yeah.
You did not play against Hail Hydra.
Yeah.
That was a wolf.
Hail Hydra would have been a wolf.
Yeah.
Hail Hydra would have been not okay. And I would have played it. Like, the thing is, if there had been a major tournament and that had been legal, I'd have played it.
Right, because you win automatically.
Because you win automatically. And you know what? If you're a Circle player and nothing gets changed about this theme force and you don't bring Bradagus to the next really competitive tournament you go to, you're intentionally playing down.
Yep.
And that's fine. There are people that will do that. Yeah, I'm getting zero sour balls after this.
That's why we've been very happy that you've been talking, so I can grab more sour balls.
Well, I realized they were all getting eaten. I'm very full.
Thank you, Jeremy. They were very yummy.
I'm glad you liked them.
I'm going to crash so fucking hard.
Brian's going to crash in like 10 minutes.
I'll be like halfway to sentence pass out of the
anyway, floor. And that was part of why I wanted to go ahead and talk about this, because I think there are a lot of people that feel the same way you do, Andy, that Nathan said, that this is just a boy who cried wolf. Well, no. Disagree.
Yeah.
And I realize that I am not... like a person that wins War Machine Weekend, but I'm a good enough player that seeing it even in the hands of a mediocre player, it's terrifying. And in the hands of a good player, the angles are just, ugh.
Yeah,
they're just terrifying.
I mean, part is we get to adapt.
I worry that there may not be an adaption point. That's my concern,
especially for some factions.
For some factions
cannot adapt.
Well, yeah, it's like Scorn always has a hard time adapting to Kricks. I mean, the Scorn, like in this scenario, Scorn, like, there are certain lists that certain factions can do. Like this is a case where Scorn's like, whatever, you do your fancy little force, I'm going to charge through anyway.
And so the factions that can't adapt to it need to hope that the other factions adapt hard enough
really
to scare it away.
Yeah, it's like Lich 2. There are some factions that really, really have trouble beating Lich 2.
Yeah.
And they just, at this point...
They were hope happy that, Lich 2 went away.
And they just and they were really glad. But they just hope that everyone else beats Lich 2 player before they get to them.
Yeah.
Got stuck.
Waiting for Andy to talk, but he's got a sour ball. He's dying.
He's dying of sour ball.
Die on sour ball.
Got some good news for you, Nathan.
Yeah.
Everybody in Texas agrees with you.
No!
Man, I guess that whole system, man.
I take back everything I said because the Texans agree.
That can't be good.
And Australia. But Australia's pretty awesome.
Australia's pretty cool. Now I'm torn.
Speaking of Australia... they're making a second season of Danger 5. I'm very excited.
Where'd your bow go?
My bow?
You put it here.
It fell off, and then Andy put it there.
Do we have more Bradagus talk?
No, I'm done. I'm done.
I'd like to revisit this topic in 6 months and see if we're in the same boat of like, or if our podcast still continues.
I will very happily go on record saying that unless they change the theme for us, this will still be a problem in 6 months.
Yes.
I'm happy to go on record to say that. But I like to make outrageous claims on air, so.
It'll either still be a problem or the entire meta as we know it will have changed specifically to prevent it being a problem. Whether it's an errata from Privateer Press or a mass shifting in the world's gameplay style, yes. Something has to happen or else this is
and
going to be.
And a mass shift isn't always bad except if it causes this. There can be like ridiculous side effects. But
there can be very ridiculous.
I mean, the shifting meta is one of the cool things about War Machine. But
I agree. But this is an excessive shift, I think. But we'll see. All right. What's next, guys? Next topic.
So we've done 100 of these,
100
and I said I wrote up this really nice. We had this whole thread about what some ideas.
Yeah,
and the thing I wrote it. Up, I mustn't have hit submit.
So apparently, he posted something tonight while we were.
No,
there.
No, I posted it like Thursday or Friday.
Oh, and we just didn't know that.
No,
because
I never
was there.
I never. Yeah, because
so that's my point. Is I watched you go to post it tonight because you were like, "Oh, I never." Posted
no, I looked at it. And I saw it was demo. That's
had
weird.
You hit save instead of submit? I've done that before because I've never seen a forum with a save button instead of a submit button, and ours has that.
Conversations on the forum. Somebody should text me and let me know.
I'll let you know once something actually comes up. Nothing came up. Brian, what were you going to post?
Well, I'm tired now.
Right.
Well, I don't know. We've done 100 of these. I guess we should.
Well, it's the 100th episode. 100 so.
And some change.
100 and some change. Well, we got some 0.5s and we have some redos and some things and stuff. And that's my point.
Is that so done 100 of these?
I was thinking about the first time that we came together to do this, and it was really, really funny. Some conversations we had off air right before it happened, and then we giggled through the entire thing. And
that is true. I remember that.
And Jeff became our mascot at that point.
Because there are so many Jeffs.
There are so many Jeffs in Madison.
Who doesn't listen to our podcast anymore?
Yeah, he said he doesn't.
None of them do?
Well, no, just the Jeff.
That particular
the
Jeff.
Yeah. That we could always rely on. He said, I don't have time to listen to podcasts.
He was our only listener for like 100 episodes.
He was our only guaranteed listener, yeah.
Yeah.
When did you...
He's too busy.
Sorry. I had a flashback to a terrible thing. Caught myself from saying things.
Oh, my goodness.
I know what you stopped yourself from saying.
But it's been 100 episodes. It's been interesting.
Does anyone remember any highlights? Like early on, like anything weird? Like I was gonna get a summary of like the things because I always change my SIG file to like the most current like rude thing someone said about our podcast.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Crippled System took an upper decker on my heart. I enjoyed that SIG that someone was running for a while.
I really enjoyed Benghazi. I really enjoyed you not knowing where anything is ever.
The Benghazi and Benghazi. The state capitals.
State capitals.
And,
and the number of continents.
The number of continents.
That was all one episode, too.
I know.
You were on a roll.
I was.
The fact you had to go to the internet like,
well,
prove
I've been wrong. The thing is, I've been wrong about things on that episode. And you guys said eight continents. I was like, that can't be right. But wait, maybe, what if it is? See, I'll look so stupid. I'll Google it because we're not fucking live on video. I'll Google it. And then Kate's like, Jeremy just Googled this. Thanks, babe.
No, you called out. You said, no, I'm Googling. You actually.
No, I didn't. Katie pointed out that I was Googling.
There are seven continents.
You did.
I did say that. I did say that.
You were so
there's like a 15-minute gap, and we had moved on, and then you were just like, there totally are seven continents.
It was still topical, damn it.
No, it was. It was.
Someone go back and listen. I think it was still topical.
Topical to me, damn it.
It was still topical.
I remember when Pip became our second mascot. That was exciting.
Pip, yep.
Pip's very important to our podcast.
And then he fell off for a long time.
And then he came back. He came
back.
Yeah.
Swedish Muslim Jeremy.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Swedish Muslim Jeremy. He's,
oh my God, we were dying that first interview.
Oh my God.
He's not allowed. His
camera
work visa.
He is very camera shy.
We need him back.
We need him back. I know. We
his
need
work
him back.
Visa does not allow him to be on camera since we're live streaming. We just can't have
maybe
him.
Maybe
so
we can have him call in 1 week or something. Or
maybe he can commentate on like some of our battle reports if we do
more
battle reports.
That would be amazing.
We could possibly.
We need to record more battle reports.
We do need to do more battle reports. I think that was a highlight. When we started doing the battle reports, there's still no one who does them quite like we do, which I really like.
Keith interviewed that whole April Fool's episode, because that was all the same episode. Sweet Muslim Jeremy was in that episode, and the Keith interview was in that episode. It was all good stuff.
The Keith interview. That was amazing.
That was really forever.
To wrangle Keith.
To wrangle Keith.
The most compliments I got was the Poop and Potato intro. That was one of the
people. Well, that board game picture that somebody came up with was amazing.
Every piece of fan art is amazing.
Yeah, we had some
there's that guy with the signature with the picture of you and me, the whole Proteus thing. Oh, Lord.
Proteus!
I'm glad Tort still has the thing about boob science in his signature.
That was pretty good.
I was proud of that.
That was pretty good.
Somebody was asking about episode 10.
Well, it was the best episode. It was a really good episode.
It was the highlight. It was probably where we peaked.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree. We peaked.
I will not disagree that episode 10 is the best possible thing that we could ever do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm surprised we continue past that.
Yeah,
I am too.
But yeah,
it was flawless. I'll stay with it. It was flawless. Definitely were zero flaws in episode 10.
I would agree. I would agree with that statement.
Jay Bucket had some amazing things.
Jay Bucket.
That was 2 years ago, though.
I know.
I'm really surprised people got so uppity over that phrase.
The second time we had him, Travis was messaging me. He's like, this is terrible. Never do this. Because it's very anti-Travis.
It is very anti-Travis.
Travis is kind of like a mascot.
Sam is a mascot. Cool Travis is not.
Cool Kurt's letters were pretty good. Especially the first one was amazing.
First one was amazing.
He needs
to work on his grammar, though.
The introduction of the captain. Like, the captain has been become a recurring part of our podcast.
Well, he needs friends.
He does. He does need friends.
So lonely.
By the way, Jeremy told me something today that made me giggle. He said that John Acker is the new captain.
What? Because it was just one day he was just part of the group.
We were hanging with him. We called him. He was our Jeremy the other day because you weren't there. So
we were being mean to him during a game.
Makes sense.
I said, John, you're my backup Jeremy. when I would need someone I'm playing board games against, just because he takes it well too.
He's
got that jovial thing. Yep. I can be vicious to John Acker.
Yeah, he doesn't care. Like, hey. Hooray! Somebody played with me.
Yeah. Like a puppy that you kick and it wags its tail.
Yeah.
Because that's technically attention.
So originally we were going to have Brian and myself, and then Jeremy. Jeremy backed out, so he couldn't do the Fortress America thing.
Yeah.
So then we contacted Troll Jeff, and Troll Jeff messaged me like on Thursday saying, "Dude, I can't make it. I got to be someplace."
To be fair, the only reason I agreed to do it because I figured you'd never follow through when you have to do it.
Yeah. To be fair, if Brian had known he was going to actually be up at 3 a.m., Brian would have backed out.
I would have backed out.
What?
I would not have done it had I thought you would have followed through on it.
No, I actually did groundwork on this one, too.
I told Katie I've never been so happy to be at her parents' house ever.
I guess my alarm got off. I woke up. I'm like, it's 2:30. I'm so sad right now.
I hate my life.
On the video, you look very sad.
You do look sad.
I've been sad all day. I just took tomorrow off because of today.
Hey, but you got to run out of control markers.
Yeah, I did. The game was well. It was won. It was good. I've seen all.
Is there video of the whole game? Like, I haven't actually heard who won. Like, is there video proof?
There's video of the whole game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I mean,
it's going to be cut down.
Yeah.
Cut down dramatically. Well, yeah. There's a lot of just us staring
and
at the
board. And it's not like a great play because it's the camera. The whole point was like watching up close to the game. So the camera's just kind of farther back. It's mostly just rambling.
I didn't know if you guys want to talk about how it actually went down at all or if you want to just let the video talk.
Well, it was John and Andy's first time playing it.
Oh. Yeah.
So we had, and Nathan played America because you need somebody to play the game.
Brian? Do you need someone who's played? Because
Jeremy, have you ever played as America?
I played as America.
Did you play it before? Did you know what you were doing?
Ask me how many times I played the game.
How many times have you played the
game? I played the game one time.
Okay.
And I've played as America.
Sure. So your first time playing, you're playing against America.
No, as America.
Or you're playing as America. Brian, you had played before, right?
Yeah, many times.
So you were playing against an experienced player and you were America. So that went how for you?
Pretty well.
Yeah.
I lost real fast.
Yeah,
like
Katie
real
played,
fast.
It was me and Katie versus Jeremy.
Katie pushed some
other.
Katie played one of the three sides with input from Brian, and then the other two sides just walked across America.
It felt really good.
I don't remember playing.
It was a long time.
It was a long time ago.
This might have been like this was pre this Candy was Crush.
Pre.
I think this might have been pre podcast. This was a long time ago.
No,
it was CC.
Yeah,
BCC.
BCC. It is kind of weird to think back, like, let's see. When we started this podcast, Candy Crush didn't exist.
Candy Crush existed.
Katie certainly wasn't playing it.
Yeah.
She wasn't playing it, but it
things existed. Exist, even if she's not well, doing
it. Well, she started it pretty early. Like, I remember her playing it around the time I first heard of anyone playing it.
No, I got around. I jumped on the bandwagon late.
A little late. Okay. Well, Katie didn't play Candy Crush. Katie played War Machine. That was a thing that existed when we started this podcast. Marshall still lived here.
Yeah.
And soon will again, 100 episodes later.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to think what else like massively different from today existed when we started this podcast.
Loki.
Lich 2. Was Loki around?
Yeah, he was on the table for many, many
times. Oh, that's
podcasts.
Right. I was
Loki you in the head.
I was trying to remember if he participated in any of the
he
early
did.
Podcasts.
He did. He jumped up on the table when we
that's right.
when
that's
we were
right.
recording
we were
in the basement.
In the basement, yep.
Before
right.
I moved out and then that's we moved right. into my bedroom, quote unquote.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. Loki was around. That's a little bit of a sad.
Yep.
Life
moves on.
Lich 2 was everywhere at tournaments, and now you like never see him. Very rarely, at any rate.
Which is weird.
It is weird. I still, to this day, I go to a tournament, there's no Lich, like, there's just straight no Lich 2 at the tournament. I'm like, that's
Jim, what dabbled in War Machine when we started still, didn't he?
He still played it.
Yeah.
He was a regular. In fact, he was on a couple of our podcasts.
Yeah. Colossals didn't really
exist. Colossals didn't exist at all, did they?
I don't know. I remember Galleon coming out.
No, I don't think that Colossals existed.
I don't think Colossals at all existed 100 episodes ago.
How much of the Lich not being around is
with the Lich dot Kraken test? We were killing less black people with the police.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Thank you for bringing that up.
Well, I'm just trying to remember. Well, actually, no, we just weren't talking about it.
Yeah, it's probably true.
We were killing the same amount.
That is depressingly true.
Accurate. Someone just found out.
Yes. One of the most depressingly comedic things to me, or comedically depressing, it's depressing.
Whatever.
But whatever, was that the first big one happened, and there's all the protests, and everybody, of course, the Ferguson thing, and then the big thing people were saying, well, we need to put cameras on all the police, because if this is videotaped, this won't happen again. And then a week later, one that was on videotape got acquitted too. Yep. And they're like, oh, well, so I guess never mind. Yep. I guess you can go ahead and videotape them.
See, one of the new stories coming out of Ferguson, though, too, is that the DA knew that some of the witnesses were lying on stand.
But yeah.
Anyway, let's not talk about that. That's depressing.
Yeah, why are we talking about
that? We were that up. Lame, Brian. Lame.
I just was talking. I made a little joke. I didn't go into it. I was top level. That's where I live in life.
Jeremy was never supposed to be on the podcast.
That's true. It was going to be Andy. Originally, this was going to be the Andy and Nate podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Brian was going to be a guest the first week.
Just the first week. Yeah, Brian was like, I'll be a guest the first week because I'll hate it. And then he never left. Yeah.
And then Katie and I weren't even involved at all. We were like, oh, that sounds like fun. You guys do that.
That's not quite true. They asked if I wanted to come but told me you couldn't.
That was how it started.
That did happen.
We're like, we got to find a gimmick. We want Katie. She's cool. But this Jeremy guy is always around. What do we do about that?
Oh, man. 100 episodes.
We couldn't turn off your mic either.
No, you couldn't.
No, but yeah, the original concept for this was Nathan and I were going to be hosts and we're going to have a rotating cast.
Yeah.
And that just, it synced.
It never happened. I mean, you guys did have a rotating cast a few times.
You're right, but only, this is the cast.
This is the cast,
this is the job for Pip. Go back to all of our podcasts and get a tally of who's been all of them. I mean, Andy's been on all of them.
Andy's been on all. Andy's never missed one.
Nathan's missed the least, and I've
missed the most.
You've missed the most. I've missed the...
I'm not sure which of us has missed the most.
Yeah, because there's been some times when we're
assuming. Yeah, Brian and I are probably closely to tied, would be my guess. Katie, most, least, second.
So
least.
Go ahead, Pip, and give us a number. You have 4 hours from the time you hear this. Not from now.
Because that'd be
ridiculous.
Well, he should listen live and then 4 hours.
He should be
now.
On there.
Well,
it is 3 in the morning for England.
Well, he should be on.
He should be playing Fortress America.
His Steam sale might be refreshing, so he has to be watching that
content. Oh, Steam sale. It hasn't been overly brutal this time. There haven't been a lot of really big ones. Plus, I already own, it's stuff like Here's Papers, Please, and Super Meat Boy, and FTL, all for a nickel. I'm like, yeah, I bought those for a nickel 7 a Steam ago, sales ago.
Beyond Earth was on sale for 30 or 40%. Oh, I was like, oh my God, I resisted.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Coming up soon is, I told Andy this already, but I think 12 or so hours from now, the next, they say coming up next time is going to be the Sentinels of the Multiverse. Version.
I didn't know there was a computer
version. Yeah, there's an app version. The computer version is launching as part of the sale tomorrow or tonight. Also Warhammer Quest. So I told Andy he's going to have to buy both of those.
Mm-hmm. I have Warhammer Quest. It's on my iPad. You want to see it?
But once he gets it on his PC, we can't troll him with that.
I know, but right now I can.
You sure have?
Okay. I have it right there.
I have it right here.
I didn't have an iPad when we first started this.
Nope.
Neither did I.
Neither did I.
That's one of the best things I've ever bought.
It's
the worst thing I've ever bought.
Exactly. Same reason.
Same reason.
We could probably talk about what are the at least some of the plans we have for the future.
I thought. The podcast. Well, because tomorrow next week's going to be 2014 recap.
Yeah, our recap of the year.
Recap and then our resolutions.
And our resolutions. Yes.
Yeah.
But I was talking what we're talking about doing in the future. That will not happen.
But
we'll talk about it.
We were
but
talking about live streaming War Machine games.
Yep,
we have talked about that.
We did actually already do that.
When did we do that?
At Who's the Boss?
Oh, that's right. Live streaming Who's the Boss.
I wasn't the boss.
Yeah, we did two games there, and we did a very unique version
three
of
games.
Huh?
Weren't there two normal ones and then the four player?
No, just
only just two one games. And one.
One
oh,
and
okay,
one,
yeah. Two games. But we did the live streaming there the absolute wrong way that you're supposed to do a live stream. Or at least have people commentating on the game because they were right next to the people playing the game.
And so the people playing could hear them.
Yep.
Well, we were interacting. On purpose.
Yeah. Otherwise, I do have the cords in that we can actually have it be a further away from the game.
I think the commentary is calling out bad moves as they're happening while the person can hear it. It's pretty good.
It's pretty hilarious.
Man, why is he going over there?
Man, why is he so bad at this game?
Why is he not casting that spell? What's... And then someone's like, well, don't give him help. Don't worry.
So I think we might do Wednesday nights to do actual live streaming.
Oh, from our local, store?
From our local store. It'll just be getting...
That'll cut into the games that we record and comment, though, because that's a lot of where we get that material.
Well, we could actually just record a game.
We could hypothetically do both. Because you could live stream it, and then, I mean, that's going to be two...
We could do multiple games.
You can do multiple games. I mean, you could live stream one and record another. But then there's... If you live stream it, then the players aren't going to be commentating on it. They're going to be playing, obviously. Yeah. So you're going to have the live stream commentation, and then you could still do the post commentary later. And then throw that up on YouTube like we always have.
Yeah, I think it would be better to do a live stream game, and then we could just set up a camera to record the other one and then record the audio for that.
One of the things I always want to do when recording is just start pulling cables out of this thing like during the recording.
Yeah, Brian shouldn't sit by the cables because he's been caving in.
I didn't say I was going to, but it's just like I just want to turn knobs and pull things out.
I have to resist. We use the dryer sheets now, but I'm just going to go on record here as saying fabric softener looks delicious.
Looks delicious?
It smells delicious. It's that creamy blue. It looks like blueberry milk. Like, it's the creamy milky thing, and it smells delicious. Like, I never did it, and I'm not completely stupid to do it, but every time I pour out fabric softener, I'm thinking, man, I am actively making a conscious human evolutionary decision to not just chug this because it looks and smells delicious.
We got the dryer balls. We don't use the...
Your balls are drier.
That's true.
We don't use the anymore.
Brian, you can do some stuff if you have dryer balls.
You just put it in the dryer and it dries. I don't understand what you're saying at all.
It's for the static.
No, for the they make them all soft.
You just put your clothes in the dryer and then you pull them out when it's done being dried. I don't need to put my balls in the dryer.
So you've never put your balls in the dryer?
No,
you haven't lived.
And then I take the clothes out and I sit in the basket for like 5 days. And then I wear a shirt from the basket.
Yep.
Yells at me when I do that to him. He says that they're wrinkly.
That's because they are.
Yeah, that's character.
No.
And here's you have the basket. You put dirty clothes in the basket, and then you have the other baskets that is still the clean clothes from last time. And you live out of one basket and put in the other basket.
I still don't know when I'm supposed to use hot or cold. It's on whatever Jordan.
Cold for
whatever John just did last, or whatever Rick does. That's what I do it on.
Jordan. I got Jordan the best Christmas present.
I don't know. So
can it be an empty box?
Be a box of nothing.
I can't wait
for next year. I got something that was very useful last year.
Next year we're gonna take something.
Last year,
like you got me the fruit, the ninjas.
Oh, the blender thing.
I thought you liked that.
I
don't know if he's ever used it.
I would never.
Do you think he eats plants? Ever.
You got it because it was like called a ninja.
A ninja, and you were playing the ninja game a lot.
You wrote Fruit Ninja on it, and that was funny.
That's true.
I'm like, well, this is helpful.
No, Clumsy Ninja. Clumsy Ninja.
I don't remember.
Because last year, Clumsy Ninja was a thing that we hope that at least three of us played a lot.
I was going to say, another thing that we plan on doing, I'm just completely changing the subject.
Okay.
you're holding on to the subject. We're changing, and you're making it stay.
Yeah. Well,
are we going to smell pretty?
Some other thing that we're talking about doing, too.
I'm surprised you said, yeah.
Is the IK RPG.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be in January. We have it.
18th.
18th? I need to put that on my calendar.
It is in your calendar, I thought.
I don't know that I actually put
8 a.m. We're going to play at the Shays.
What sexist dream am I now?
And we're going to have an awesome table, too.
Oh!
You tempt me sweetly.
No, oh. I did forget to put it on my calendar. Did you say the 18th?
Attempt me sweetly?
Yeah, you're... It's a Sunday.
Yes, it is.
Just try.
And my understanding is we're not live streaming it, but we are recording it.
It gets stronger as
Is that
goes.
True?
Yeah. We could possibly live stream.
I was just curious what the plan was.
You have the IKRPG rulebook, right, Andy? Can I borrow it when I leave so that I can read how to play and make a character? Tempt Me Sweetly has reached the other side of the table.
Wow, Kiki
Marie. It keeps getting stronger.
Wow.
Oh!
Oh, why would you do that?
I can smell it now.
I also have it on my iPad, Nate, if for some reason you don't get a chance to see
You're
it.
You're not allowed to have any of them.
We can't have a perfume fight.
Yeah. A perfume fight ends badly for everyone.
Mostly the person who lives in this building. Like, we'd leave and there'd just be a cloud of chemical warfare floating in the room.
I'll just dump the whole bottle along the basement.
Oh, and you'll move
out. That's how you get ants.
That's how you move out.
Sexy but really,
ants.
Yeah,
sexy really, ants. Really sexy ants.
God, this stinks so much.
Oh, hey, but it's no, hey, but that's a very sexy.
If you threw
smell.
In Malcolm Reynolds, he might.
I would actually be tempting.
Doesn't smell like that.
All right.
Good thing our podcast doesn't have smell-o-vision yet.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, that's on the list of things to do. Coming
so, are,
forward.
Are we moving on to the Zappities and recommendations, or no?
Probably.
Well, I was going to talk about a couple other things we're going to do in the next year. So talk about
Andy,
just
you're the producer. Tell us other plans we have.
What other plans do I have? I don't
remember.
Well, I'm
going to do more movie pain trains.
Yeah. Well, obviously.
Like
that's
to get
new.
That as a like a bi-weekly event of some sort.
What?
Only if we get the approval from North Korea what movies we can be.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, we already have their approval because they're showing
Because it's showing in the theater, so we have their approval.
Yeah, once we get close to the new year, I'm working on getting us another interview or two with people.
That is going to be awesome.
That'd be great. Those are always good.
Although it's going to be really hard to match the one that you had most recently.
Oh, the next one. I got to
get the Penny Arcade guys.
Ooh,
I want
that would be amazing.
They play War Machine.
They do play War Machine. That would be
with
amazing.
Talent,
and I would support them.
Hey,
on the whole,
I like the Penny Arcade guys.
I
fine.
I support them on the Dick Wolves debacle.
Yes, agreed.
That was, and I don't say this lightly because we all know with the 2014 and everything like that, that was a funny rape joke.
It was.
And just because it was a rape joke, they got browbeaten into apologizing for it. But it was funny.
But it was funny.
I don't think they needed to double down on it. Like
the double down might have been a little excessive. However, I understand where it came from.
Initially, I didn't have a problem with it. I'm like, okay, you don't need to apologize for everything, but the doubling down I thought was a little unneeded.
Yeah.
But
at any rate, I really like the Penny Arcade guys. I think interviewing them would be awesome.
I just think a comic comes out 3 days a week. It's like, that's all they do. It's like three. I mean, I know they have the cons. Like, give me
the way you
five
felt when you met
in
Greenwood would be the way I would feel if I actually met the Penny Arcade
well,
guys.
Well, the what I have on deck, and again, I'm not going to say names on
no,
air because I don't want to get
but
hyped.
But what I'd also be as excited about?
You would be very excited.
Okay. All right, then.
The other one is if I with the blah, 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 blah.
Thank you, Nathan.
With the kicking and the being fired because homophobes.
Huh?
The Jews?
Not the Jews. Chris Cluey. Chris Cluey.
That, yes. I have not put an effort to get him, but I could look into it.
All right. What other ideas, Andy?
Nope.
That's it? We have no more ideas. The idea is dry.
The movie Pain Train is obvious, I think. We want to. We're going to try to start doing more board game stuff.
That one we've talked about for a long time and never really gotten around to, but I would like, especially because we're getting this nice table, like it might be, that might be a good catalyst for it. We'll see.
Yeah. Gotta get better lighting.
Well, I mean, it's going to be where our living room is. It's going to be where the game table is.
Well, I've been wanting to do board games for a while. And not
Nathan's board game review
as...
of Battle of Westeros is our number one video.
Is it really?
It's on board game. It also has a ton of likes.
It's a really good video. I think you guys did a good job with it. But
yeah, we want to do more of those.
I would do that.
That way we can double dream stomp because we can record during Menoth John and then we can take all the thunder out of your
Why
turn.
Are
go.
We talking about this.
No, well,
we're just talking about ideas for the
just saying. Okay. So we can record during his show and then we can do the board the unboxing and stuff that the Your Turn Go guys do.
Your Turn Go guys do. Make everyone hate us.
Just start stomping on everyone.
And then we could talk about War Machine and steal that from Muse on Minis.
The first time I saw the unboxing stuff, I'm like, why would I care about unboxing? And then when there's a video for a new board game I've been seeing, I'm like, I gotta watch the unboxing.
I must watch the unboxing.
This is amazing.
It's one of those things that, like,
there's so many pieces.
Before it existed, it was so dumb, and now it exists, and you're like, must see. Yeah.
Stuart, so he was assembling, like, ATSTs. I'm like, ooh, look at it. He's assembling an ATST. And it's stompy, stompy.
What's an unboxing?
Like, literally, he opens the box and says, and then look, this is part of the game. And then here's more components.
Yeah.
Just videotapes itself. Opening the box for the
first really
time.
It's really cool
and
for like,
all the collectors
and stuff. That's where it gets really exciting.
Like, if it's all cardboard shits, you don't give a shit. Like, if he opens Settlers of Catan, the normal version, whatever. But, like, the one I saw a couple days ago was the Rebel Assault, or whatever it's called, the new Star Wars game. And it is, like, it has, you know, AT-STs this big as part of the game, and, like, Darth Vaders and shit. And so, like, that was cool to watch.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned that we should movie Pain Train board games. Or pain train board
game. Board game pain train?
Yeah, board game pain
train. Oh, I have some bad board games.
Which, no, we just play Monopoly.
No, I fuck it. I will go rebuy Senator just to make people suffer through that.
Also,
piece of
I
shit.
Throw,
if
we were I throw, do I throw. That, those... We would do Scrabble because that would at least be very entertaining.
Only if it's worse with friends.
We could also do
Scrabble with no dictionaries. We just vote on whether it's a word or not. Just,
in general, Katie and I play Scrabble always turns violent. So
as long as I can have my phone for no apparent reason.
We can also do Android.
Yeah, I enjoy it. The problem with all the, every game I've hated that I've owned, I've burned and thrown away. Not resold. I've destroyed it, so it can't be recycled.
I just remember when you tore up that card for Lords of Waterdeep.
Yeah. We were just like...
the room
is a promo card.
I know!
The room stopped. DC card. Was like, what the fuck just happened over there? Yeah. Charlie's like, I don't know what to do.
Katie and I were like, and somebody
card's great.
Somebody started to say something. Somebody started to say something. And Katie was like, "Stop! Just don't. Whatever you were going to say, don't."
No. There's a card. You've played Waterdeep, right?
Yes.
There's a card, Inevitable Betrayal, where what it is steal some shit from an opponent and then give them this card.
Right.
So the card never leaves the game. It just floats around, or two people just use it on each other over and over again. Brian got hit by that. It may or may not have cost him the game, so that card did not survive.
No, it was because I was losing already.
And Charlie Foster played it on him because Charlie doesn't play that game as much as we do. And the thing with Lords of Waterdeep, and this is a true thing, is if you play Lords of Waterdeep a lot, it's very, very apparent where all the points are. Like, there's no true hidden knowledge. I mean, because you can intuit who their lord must be, and you can estimate, oh, they have just so many quests done.
What I mean,
and
you can see the quests. You can see, like, if Brian has 90 points and you have 60 points, sure, you're quote-unquote losing, but you have a 50-point quest sitting in front of you,
right.
You're winning.
Then I'm winning. So if you play
there
the game...
There are
50-point
quests.
But he understands the
example
analogy.
Of analogies.
So you can tell who's winning and who's not. And Brian was definitely losing. Like, that was a true statement that Brian was losing. But he had the most points on the board, which when you don't play Lords of Waterdeep very much, is like, he must be winning. And so Charlie played the card, and Brian was just like, threw it in the box.
Even though I told Charlie, like, 100 times, like, you always have to just put your foot on Jeremy's neck and just keep pushing harder.
That's his fetish.
Like, it is now, man.
Like, he's always winning. He's always trying to hide his points.
And it's always it's unhidden because it's always open knowledge.
Right. Yeah, it's not hidden.
And no one ever, Charlie's not alone here. No one ever believes me when I say this about Jeremy. And then Jeremy always wins games against these people.
Yeah, new players is really bad. I mean, if it's like me, Katie, Jeremy, and Nathan, it's a terrible strategy. But if you add some new players in, it's a great strategy because they're not going to, they don't see
the thing is, the strategy is not a problem one way or the other when I play with you guys.
But
know when you throw in a new player, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the reason I do it, and this is what Katie doesn't care that this is true. The reason I do it isn't so that, oh man, I'm going to surprise butt sex you with all these points. It's because that way it doesn't hurt me much when somebody like shifts with my materials or whatever. It's just like, oh, I can very easily readjust my plan because all I'm going to be doing like the last 8 turns is playing 8 quests anyway or whatever.
Yeah.
So I can be like, oh, well, on turn 7 you got rid of one of my purple blocks. I guess I'll get a purple block. Okay. Like, I kind of have it already broken down into what I'm going to do, and it's very easy to adjust my plan. Once you play one of those are spent. You have no other options. And so that's why I play it that way. It's not, I don't do it in order to surprise butt sex win. It's because it's an actual valid strategy, regardless of new players.
As what somebody has said, it's tiresome listening to you complain about how much you're losing.
Brian does it just as bad.
No one does it as much as you.
Brian,
I do not do it as much as you.
Does Brian do it just as badly as I do?
That, he does do it. You do it the worst.
Everyone in our group has a problem.
Brian will sit there all mopey and silent, and you can just ignore him. And you're very vocal about how much you're losing. Like, every time it comes to, like, we're all taking turns saying something, you're like, oh, I'm losing. I can't believe I'm losing. I don't even know why I play this game. When Brian's doing it, he's just doing a mopey, like, I don't...
Now, Brian does say things also. That's bullshit, and you know it.
But you say it very loudly and very consistently.
I would say everyone at this table does it to some degree. What my biggest problem is, here's my problem. I'm like, okay, if everyone plays the game better, I lose. And then someone makes a mistake, and then I win.
Yes.
Are you a board game's a bad matchup?
No. The thing is, all of us except Katie manipulate other players to a certain degree. Nathan, if it's a game where you can manipulate somebody into like just lifting you up into first place, Nathan will win every time.
I like Mo.
If it's a game where you have even remotely sort of kind of hidden points, I will probably win. And if it's a game where Brian can just kind of quietly just not get bothered by anyone the whole game because he looks mopey and sad, I'm still really full, but thank you.
Okay.
Then Brian will probably win. The difference is that Katie doesn't do any of those things. And she wonders why she, like she
I just lose all the time. Apparently.
No, no. You are a really good player, so you win a lot, but you don't win.
You don't have a gimmick.
You don't have a gimmick.
I'm going to spin it well instead of insulting you like your husband.
I'm not insulting
you. Don't
you.
Rely on a gimmick.
Nathan wins all of these games. Brian wins all of these games.
I'm saying,
I win all of these games. My wife doesn't win shit.
No, that's not what I'm saying. We each have a way that we manipulate other people.
We found shit.
We all manipulate people. You don't. And it's why you struggle at it's why you in board games. And it's why you struggle so much.
He's still talking.
In Resistance. You can never convince people in Resistance.
Hey, remember that time that you knew who everybody was, but statistically you were wrong, said Black.
Oh my God.
So angry.
I am never playing with Black again, by the way. He is terrible.
Oh, a person named Black, okay.
Yes, a person named Black.
At games that include apparently any sort of deduction, because he's going to take these statistics that are like broad statistics, and he's going to apply them to this particular situation.
Like, if there's like six people, and I could be dancing at the table going, I'll murder all the babies, I'll make sure you fail all the quests, and Black would be like, well, statistically, there's only a 1 in 6 chance he's the spy.
It's true.
That's what was happening.
And so I was just getting madder and madder and madder and yelling and screaming, and no one was listening to me at all.
It was fantastic. Even
though Charlie, well, come on now, in fairness, you were right about everything.
And to be fair,
so why would they listen to
Charlie?
You?
Believe
Charlie, yes, yes. Of course he did, because he was a spy. He said
we winked at each other when they weren't listening to you, and you're like, they just winked at each other.
He said that the captain did, and then Charlie at one point was like, I can't believe she guessed it all. Like, no one's listening to me or him, apparently. Mr. Give It Away over there.
Well, because statistically, what were the odds?
About 100%.
The captain, like, even the next day, he was still shocked that I tore up a car. He's like, you care more about the quality of your game than I do, and I'm paranoid. Because, I mean, I'm always like, no one get near my game, no one spilling my game, and just tore it up. And he was like,
I don't know. Carry a beverage into the room that contains one of Brian's unboxed games, and he loses his shit.
That's not true. He lets me carry around drinks.
Yeah, he does.
I'm not that fucking mopey, people.
You use the mope tactic quite a bit.
You do
use the manipulation tactic.
I'm actually just sad a lot and pathetic. It's not really a game strategy. It's just a life strategy. It's just how I am.
Sad and mopey.
It's not really a...
He just banks on it in board games.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And he uses the luck strategy.
And he uses 100% the luck strategy.
No, I do.
Wild card bitches.
I do a lot of wild card bitches.
He does do that also.
I strategize a little bit.
And he spends the first 70% of the game confused what's going on, getting mad when he doesn't understand something. But then he gets it at some point. But you're like, man, because you feel bad because he was so upset about not understanding it earlier. But then he gets it, and then he gets this huge point burst because he got it. And you're like, you're annoyed because he was mopey for 80% of the game because he had explained something 4 times, but then it clicked, and then
this is how wild card Andy is. Is it was Andy's the reason we found out that it was illegal as a Resistance player to fail missions on purpose to fuck with the game. We had to verify that rule because Andy did it multiple times.
I'll just fail a mission and confuse everyone.
No, you don't do that.
I didn't do it all the time.
You did it once, and then you did it a second time, and that's when I looked up and found out it was illegal, because I was like, this is stupid.
This is game-breakingly bad.
Like, I thought I did fairly well in Fortress America.
Yeah, you did fine.
For not playing the game before.
Playing the game before and 4 a.m.
The 3 a.m.
Well, I mean, by the time...
It was eventually 4 a.m.
It was 7 a.m. by the time.
But yeah, I held Nathan pretty good in that part there until he just lasered the fuck out of my army.
Yeah, but that's the thing is I had to... You were getting past where you were supposed to get.
Yeah.
You know, I accurately predicted where you got to at the very beginning of the game. I'm like, this is where Red should stop. But you were breaking through, so I just had to... I lasered him like 30 times in 3 turns. So it's just like, you get 8, now you get 9, now you get 10. Get the fuck off my continent. But that meant I wasn't lasering other people.
That's true.
I had a very horrible...
And he ended the game with like 8 infantry, and that's all he had on the board. Yeah. Like, I just got rid of everything with wheels or helicopter blades. I'm just like, get the fuck off my continent.
The turn that I made my big push, I actually knocked a lot of stuff out of Nathan. And that I pincered into Washington. And that just... Nathan just rolled ungodly into his defense.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Travis for the next 4 hours.
No.
He's the best.
Let's do Zupital Gripples.
Are we Gripples?
He's not the best.
Grapples?
We have to have Travis. We have to have Zippy Grumble Gripples.
I get worried when Travis text messaged me and I respond and he doesn't respond right away. I think something happened to him.
So there's too much food in this box from Hawaii.
We'll do it next time because there's I am too super much. Full.
Yeah.
I had a lot of sugar and I don't feel good.
There are like 4 versions of Kit Kats in here as well.
I am very excited to try those. Don't get me wrong. Like, but I'm turning down Vanilla Pirouettes, which I know I love because I'm too full.
What the fuck? This bag wasn't open. I have to have words with Raylene.
Okay.
Well, I mean, to be fair,
it is dark chocolate Kit Kats. I've survived.
I'm full.
No, I can't.
I can't.
I can.
All right, let's grapple the Zumbles.
Who is the who?
Andy, which one do you want?
I don't have
them. You got the, chat thing in front of you there.
Any get chat? Some any chat ones?
The chat things.
People. If we ask for them on there, they're gonna I'll pull post up Facebook like 50 here.
You go to the Facebook. I'm Twittering. Okay.
It'd be awesome if we get in the episode in 100 minutes.
That would be actually kind of fun.
Just cut out the part with Jeremy talks.
Then we would have a 3-minute episode.
Travis just texted me. When did you text me?
So Adam Farrell pointed out that your link was wrong.
What link?
Twitch.tc. It should be Twitch.tv.
Oops.
Oopsie. So Zappity Grumble. Will Hahn says, can someone explain how to properly execute the Denny gun line with Nis Boomhauers and Akos Leviathan? I look at everything and my mind melts in the activation order.
You would debuff things and you shoot the things that were debuffed.
You crippling grasp a unit and it dies. And then you crippling grasp a different unit and it dies. Yeah. It's pretty much Denny goes and crippling grasp something. Well, Denny upkeeps crippling grasp. You shoot the fuck out of that thing.
Whatever's left of it.
Then Denny activates and crippling grasp something else, and then you shoot the fuck out of it.
And then feet when you can get more shots.
And then
your
feet when you feel like goes it. And crippling grasp that third thing, and you shoot the fuck out of that.
Yeah. Shoot things that have crippling grasp on them. When they cease to exist, crippling grasp something else. Repeat as necessary.
Mm-hmm. That should be on every
this
shampoo container.
This is what I did to
container.
My iPad.
Okay, Zappity.
Gumball.
Hooray. Congratulations on the 100. Thank you, Michael Cahill.
Thank you.
And then Jason Barden says, who would you rather see kick the crap out of Jeremy? Big Bird, Deadpool, Nathan, or Miss Piggy?
Miss Piggy.
I choose E.
Ecstasy? You want to know? Oh, okay.
All the above.
just tagging in, like office, going office space on the printer.
No, I think like a steel cage. Like a Hell in the Cell. Not Hell in the Cell, but what is the one, the chambers that they have for wrestling?
Elimination? No, it's not Elimination.
Elimination Chamber. Elimination. Yep. I want you in that.
Okay, thank you.
There is a wrestler who looks very similar to you.
That's terrifying.
It's kind of funny. He's actually got probably one of the best gimmicks in the world. Have you heard of The Miz? Maybe not. Okay. Well, it's a guy who pretends he's a Hollywood star.
Okay.
And so he hired somebody to be his body double, to be a stunt double, who looks absolutely nothing like him. Who kind of looks like you.
Okay.
And then when he's down at the ring fighting,
his
stunt double will be performing the moves on the side of the ring too. So if he gets clotheslined, his stunt double like falls onto his back. And as he's talking, he's just sitting there like trying to lip sync with them. Fucking hilarious. It's easily the best part about wrestling now.
That's who is that?
Fun. It's a guy's named Damien Sindal originally, but he's Damien Mizdow.
Wow.
It is hilarious, and it does look very similar to Jeremy.
He's like...
You already used it, didn't you?
Give me that one. No, you just traded me.
Oh, you already used it.
Did she trade him like an empty... Oh, she used up the card. iTunes card. And then she traded you the empty card for your card.
Give me back my Walmart card. Give me my card.
No, you traded.
No.
You should have asked questions.
I feel like I shouldn't have to ask.
If she did not claim it still had money on it, she technically didn't lie.
Zappity?
Reminder, she's the most terrible person on this
she
podcast.
She is the most terrible person on this podcast.
You should have known to ask questions.
I should have.
It's like, you know, it's like the Wishmaster thing. Like, he's like, do you want to wish for a puppy? And you're like, fuck, he's like a giant puppy's going to eat my family or something. Terrible. I need to think about this.
I'd like $1 million.
Yes. And then a million male deer just murder you. So all of the above is the answer. Are you on the Twitter?
I'm on the Twitter. Was that it for Facebook?
Yes, that was it for Facebook.
So how much of an anticlimax is episode 100 on a scale of 1 to unplayable trash?
You tell us.
Unplayable trash. Episode 100 is
unplayable trash. Okay.
We couldn't think of things to do.
Zappity?
Well, or I couldn't probably post them.
Well, we had some
Brian
ideas.
Brian thought of something. He just said
post them. Yeah, well, then we'll do them next week. Yeah. Whatever. Fuck it. Zappity.
Grumble. Should I hate watch Hobbit Battle of the Five Armies? Okay, so here's the thing. Have you guys seen it?
No.
I have not.
Okay.
I assume you have.
I have.
I assume you're going to say it's good. And I'm liked the second Hobbit movie, so, which was the worst experience of my fucking life.
That was not the worst.
That was the worst experience of your whole life.
That's, you have a pretty good life. That's, I was going to say, the bottom.
World problems.
You don't know how much I had to pee during that entire mind sequence. I almost wet myself.
Okay, so.
Why didn't you just leave if it was so terrible? So, Jeremy, this is the
because I was. You don't leave during a movie.
Right. Okay, that's not true.
Now you know what he looks like. I'll show you.
I've only done it once, but
so here's the thing about the third movie, is everything they added, everything that's not in the books, in the original book, is bad. Like all of it's bad. Like they shouldn't have added any of it.
Yeah.
Everything that's in the book is really, really good. And there's only, like, there are things that aren't in the book, and, like, one of them comes across the screen, and you mentally pretend it exploded and it died and you killed all of its children, and then it goes off the screen, and then you're back into a good movie. So if you can get past it, it's like, it's a little bit like trying to watch The Phantom Menace and pretending Jar Jar Binks doesn't exist.
Sure.
Except there's less non-book things than there is Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
Well, the
timeline gets all screwy.
Well, so The Hobbit 1 and The Hobbit 2, in both movies I have issues with.
Agreed.
But both movies, there's things about them that I enjoy.
Exactly.
But there are segments of both movies that just offend me.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, that sequence that just happened
yes.
is stupid.
That happens
in and then
one.
There's a sequence I really, really enjoy.
And then you're like,
followed
oh.
by awfulness. So, I mean,
like, the first Hobbit movie was like, you know, 80% passable, 20% offensively bad. The second one was 20-80 the other way.
I disagree. I would say the first one would be 80-20. The second one to me might be 60-40.
I would maybe give you 40-60. The last half hour is inexcusably terrible. Just solid. And right there is a third of the film.
The only thing I don't like about the dragon thing
fucking
is
terrible.
The only thing I don't mind. I just don't like the
Velveeta dwarf.
There's
a little bit of Velveeta. They had a scene, and all I could think was Velveeta.
The whole sequence is stupid. There's nothing good or excusable about that entire mind sequence.
I don't mind. I don't mind the rest of it.
I don't. I think the movie's okay.
Dwarf standing on Smaug's mouth while he opens his mouth, and the dwarf's got one leg on each lip, and like, whoa, pratfall, and the fire that goes through the and doesn't hurt him, and then they're riding on lava with their fingers a quarter inch away from the lava in metal pans, and that's not hot at all, and it's just fucking pointless.
There's too many movies.
There's no there's purpose.
The lava being near a person is the that same thing to me. Like Mad Max filmed with gas.
I'll forgive all of that if there's a fucking purpose. You know,
there's because a romance.
At least when the
buddy.
Jedi are on Mustafar and inch away from the lava, they're fighting and it's Obi-Wan and Vader fighting and it's an important plot thing. It's stupid and I can argue about the lava and I can argue about a quarter inch up a hill being that's the high ground. Well, that's fucking stupid. Yeah. But at least there's a plot purpose. There is zero reason. Zero! For that entire fucking sequence to be in that fucking movie.
It looked cool.
It accomplishes nothing.
It was visually entertaining and I enjoyed it.
It
accomplished enjoyment.
If you're making one book into three fucking movies and you're padding them out to be 2.5 fucking hours each, you don't need to. Don't just
agreed.
Add a half an hour for no fucking reason.
I agree he didn't need to, but
just don't have the scene.
So?
Chili says that you should die in a fire.
Okay.
And the second Hobbit movie was the worst movie that I have ever seen in my life. Peter Jackson should have committed Sudoku?
After that. Good job, Chili.
He must ritually line up numbers into grids.
I will, you know what? That's I will think that is a fair punishment for him.
I agree.
Movies.
Peter Jackson should have to play Sudoku.
Yeah, I will. I completely agree.
I enjoy Sudoku.
I think you're looking for Seppuku?
Seppuku, yeah.
Yeah, not Sudoku.
No. I think he knew what he was saying.
The newest one, I honestly thought was enjoyable. There's parts that don't need to be there. Everything about Legolas in any of the movies makes me hate him. It just makes me hate him. But again, he's not in that much. Like he's on screen and he's annoying and it's like I wish you were dead. And then he's off screen again. You're like, okay, good. Now we're back to the movie. Like everything about Legolas in the last movie.
I didn't rush off to see it for a reason. I'm going to see it in a theater.
Am a huge, huge Lord of the Rings fan, and I was still able to enjoy it.
And my
I have problems with it, yes, but I was still able to enjoy
it. And my expectation level has been lower to the point now where I'm like, okay, I'll probably enjoy, like, I know what to expect. I guess I know it's going to be the same level with nonsense, so I'm not going to be like offended by it because I know what
I'm getting into. And the thing is, there's like, if there were two or three things that they just pulled out of those last movie, this actually last movie could be really great. Every time Legolas is on screen, if they just pulled that out, I'd be fine. And then every time the swarmy little assistant to the master in Lake Town is on the screen, he gets a lot of screen time in this movie, like compared to the last movie where he's barely in it. And every time he's on screen, you're just like, you're not in the book, no one cares, go away. And by the way, you're annoying as hell. Mm-hmm. Like, if those two characters just weren't in it, then the rest of it, even the departures from the book, would be okay. You know, cinematographically, like Bilbo gets involved in some fighting, which totally doesn't happen in the book. He's standing on a mountain. Oh, look, eagles. Oh, look, rock. Oh, battle over. I'll find out how it happened later.
Right.
Like, that's all he does. And in this one, it's like, oh, man, I'm throwing rocks at orcs and shit because it's a movie and they want
that. Understandable. You didn't need that.
Well, I mean, it bothers me a little bit, but it would still enjoyable.
Like, to me, that would be like the ride down the water, where I understand that it's a film, and so they have to treat things differently.
And there's, like, a whole, like, climactic battle scene involving the guy that's not in the books at all, the white orc, just not in the books at all.
There goddamn better be a climactic battle scene. If they introduced him and didn't have a climactic battle scene, I would strangle
somebody. So the first movie had the battle with the cave, the orcs in the cave where they were running, which I hated. That was, like, one of my three worst things in that movie.
Sure.
In the second movie, I loved the water fight, though. There was something. It was the same tone, but something about it. I guess it made more sense because they were on a running stream. They were
forced to be fast paced on the water. Goblin Town should have been a slow moving tortoise.
Yeah, because that's how. Yeah, and then exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yep. And in this one, the fight stuff is actually really pretty good. It's pretty enjoyable, the fight stuff.
And to be fair, if I'm going, what's in my head?
About
you put that on there for an hour,
like the whole episode.
You put that there.
I don't believe any of you.
We have video proof that.
I don't care what you believe; it happened.
That's true. Well, I'm too tired to argue.
That's the reason.
If this movie's called Battle of Five Armories, if there's a lot of battles in it, I'm really going to be content.
There are a lot of battles in it.
All right, then that's really what I'm looking for.
So here's the problem I have with the whole. So Peter Jackson, both of them were three movies long. And in the end of each of those series, the eagles just...
Well, that's not really his fault.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, you're not wrong.
To be fair...
I'm not blaming Peter Jackson on that one.
In the book, the eagles are, like, involved, and it's like, oh, man, if we need more troops, we're going to lose. Oh, more troops! Now we have a chance. In this one, it's just straight up, and then eagles happened!
And then they just win, and no more problems.
And it's fine, because eagles are here, we just win.
Trump card.
Shelly just tweeted a picture of somebody committing Sudoku. I'm not even joking. It's like a dead samurai with the grid carved onto his chest. He took the knife and disemboweled himself in a grid shape.
That's amazing.
With numbers.
Nice.
Chili, you win the internet.
I'm keeping your phone.
Travis also tweeted three questions. But
yeah, I saw them. Okay, so we should move on. Zappy.
What does Travis want?
We have one question pre-Travis, which is how insane is it that a sovereign nation used activism to stop an unflattering movie?
Hey, as long as they work on movies, if we can help pick the movies going forward, I'm okay
with it. I'm all for it.
Yeah. If we can, like, have...
The fact that it's a nation who can't do dick to us.
A friend of mine...
Russia did it, it's one thing.
Hold on. They can do dick to Sony, because Sony resides in Japan.
Yes.
And that's... I mean,
North Korea's missiles don't even make it across the sea of Japan. They haven't successfully ever. They did test ones a couple of years ago, and they got halfway across and broke into detritus and fell into the ocean.
So a friend of mine made the point, since when do we as a sovereign nation back down to this sort of shit?
Here's the counterpoint. We as a sovereign nation did not. An independent
The government
company
told
did.
Them they shouldn't air it.
No, they didn't.
The government said there's not a credible threat. Yeah. There's nothing here. Yeah. And Sony's Obama, the one in a billion chance, we don't want to get sued.
Okay.
Yeah, the government was flat out like, don't be stupid, you guys.
Okay. Yeah, Obama basically says, like, you guys were dumb.
Well, they were dumb. It was a stupid thing to do. But I thought the government said,
"No, okay. It was okay, all good. Just so."
I feel better.
And
now.
Then Paramount,
I feel better
like
now.
The double stupid with Paramount doing it even.
What did Paramount do?
Well, because theaters were going to, they took all those showings that were supposed to be The Interview, and they're like, "Well, we're just going to show Team America instead as a sign of fuck you to North Korea." Yeah. And so then Paramount is like, "Oh no, don't show our movie either. We're scared too."
What?
Yeah. Yep. So they prevented them from showing Team America, movie that's been out for a fucking decade. Nobody cares. Like,
everyone's on Netflix.
I could go watch it now on Netflix. Nobody gives a shit. Yeah. But Paramount's just like, no, don't show our movie either, guys.
I'm
we're
so
scared.
Lonely.
So lonely.
I think the real reason, and Andy mentioned this, I saw it on Netflix. I saw it on an article. Because obviously Sony got hacked. And by the way, the Sony hack is reading the leaked documents from Sony is fascinating. I wish I could find, because they post a lot online. Like, I haven't found the raw. I would read through those raw data because it's fascinating to me, the industry, how the industry.
Oh, yeah.
But people are like, because they haven't leaked everything, so people are like, they must have got, they must have told Sony.
Must have some terrible.
They must have
things.
Some like evidence, like if you play this movie, we're going to release this data. You and if you don't, we'll. So I really think it's like that's happened. There's some like awful thing Sony did that.
Well, it's kind of hilarious to think what they would say that would be that enough. So they'd be like, oh, sorry.
My two favorite ones that haven't released are the Sony saying they are so sick of having to release Adam Sandler movies. they hate them as much as the audience. They're like, we still have to release more Adam Sandler movies. It's the worst. Yeah. And then the other one, it's kind of depressing because the guy was making a statistically valid statement, and it's just depressing how, number one, that it's true, and number two, it makes him look racist. He was like, Denzel Washington movies don't do well overseas because he's black.
Which is true.
Where do you guys find this information at?
The
internet.
I don't know how to use it.
But there's all these cool articles, like the thing about... Like,
you close Candy Crush and you open
Sony,
your web browser.
Like Sony Japan tried to convince Sony US to sell the rights to Spider-Man back to Marvel, but Sony US keeps fighting it. But even they're having internal arguments over it. And there's like all the things, and there's all these emails about how the execs are talking about all these actors, like all these terrible things they said about their own actors.
Oh,
yeah.
The one who talked about Angelina Jolie. Yeah. And Raleigh Jolie, there's a picture of Angelina Jolie at a like red carpet thing with this lady from Sony like 3 years ago, and they're like arm around each other smiling and everything, and then this hack happened, and then there's a picture of Angelina Jolie and this boy, and the woman just like, Angelina Jolie is a piece of shit and I hate her and she can't act and she's the worst person ever and I wish I could piss in her eyes. Yeah. And so then there's a picture of them at a red carpet like a week later, and it's just daggers out of Jolie's eyes. It's hilarious.
That's kind of fantastic.
He's like, so apparently you read the leak.
But then there's this whole leak. I was looking at there was PowerPoint presentations that they had. Their PowerPoint presentations, I am pretty confident we could find a person outside right now, homeless, who could make a better presentation for PowerPoint for Sony than the ones that they were using. It was like, it made no sense. And it was like, this pages upon pages of their PowerPoints for their how they promote a movie. It was amazing.
Yeah. I really think that, not to say that you shouldn't take terroristic threats seriously, but I really think that that may even be perpetrated by the production company themselves to help prevent their information from getting out, because it could be a whole different like Donald Sterling incident.
And the issue with the giving into the threats is that then you set a precedent.
Yes.
Yeah, like, so now exactly. Literally every movie ever that Sony tries to release, if North Korea or whoever is like, do that, we'll bomb a random thing. They're like, well, I guess we don't release this movie. And so then they're like, well, you release any movie, book, TV show, or album ever, we'll bomb America. So we just can't release any form of entertainment ever again. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you can't. You just can't.
John Stewart is thinking how every movie that comes out now has to be called like John Key or whatever. It's like giant penis happy love movie or whatever. Everything has to be like everything. Yeah, Kim Jong Un's giant penis has to be the name of every movie. It has to be about
that. I did see something that did the green thing that pops up before trailers, and it was the following movie has been approved by Kim Jong Un for American audiences.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right,
but that's
so. Did you just Google like Sony leaks documents?
Yeah,
that's one way to do it.
One of the regular websites I go to all the time is iwatchstuff.com. It's all movie news, and he also posts that kind
of
stuff.
A lot of it is just articles having that. I haven't followed people. There are places I haven't seen the raw data, but a lot of places have the raw data, and they post huge examples of it. So I've only read like summaries and some chunks. And normally when there's leaks, I don't care to go through the raw data because I just don't.
But this time it could be fascinating.
This is just interesting. Well, it's a company that
especially
I'm intrigued
Spider-Man
by.
Things. Is that what Spider-Man out of Sony's hands.
The guy who committed Sudoku in this picture has two twos in one row.
Yeah, he does. Well, that's why he committed Sudoku.
The very middle row, he's got two
that's
twos
That's why
in
he
it.
Committed Sudoku.
Man.
All right, so Zappity.
Humble.
What movie are you looking forward to most in 2015?
I cannot answer that question right now.
Too many.
I'm too tired, and that is way too serious.
Sorry, Travis. Nobody likes
Sudoku. Avengers 2 is in the top three.
Avengers 2 is there. Sure. I don't know what else
is
even...
There is actually...
Is Star Wars coming out next Christmas?
No.
Or the Christmas?
Wait, yes. Yeah, next year. Yeah, next year.
Yeah, so Star Wars. But,
I mean, Avengers 2 is top three.
Taken 3.
Dread 2.
Yeah,
there's a lot.
It won't be if it does. It won't be.
I know.
I'll tell you, Travis. We will answer what we think the top movies in 2015 will be a year from today.
Backdoor Dumpster Slut 17.
I really like where that
series is going. they did some interesting stuff in 15 and 16.
They really shook it up last season.
they did.
It's happening.
Grumble. Do any of you own War Machine Tactics? Do you play? Not looking for a pro con. Looking to see if you play.
I own it.
Don't play.
I downloaded it. I haven't updated
it's on Steam sale today.
It's on Steam. It's also like the final version's out. I don't think I've updated the final version, and I still like went through codes I got to play. Every time I logged into it, it was better than last time I logged into it. And now that it's done, I don't know. I haven't looked at the final version.
Is it done?
Yeah,
it's supposedly done.
It's in release mode. It's as done as any PC game. Like, you can always patch it, but it's officially released live, real.
I will check it out.
I am playing a lot of games.
Yeah, that's
and problem. I will get around. I mean, I will get around to playing through the campaign because I like the idea of this solo campaign.
I'm a little confused by your term of games as in plural.
I'm playing two games.
You're busy with WoW.
And one other game.
And WoW.
And WoW.
And then there's WoW. And then he plays some WoW.
I like WoW. It's good.
Any responses, Nathan, or should we zappity it up?
I don't own it.
Okay. Yeah. Zappity. Are you excited to play IKRPG?
I am. Yeah.
I'm very looking forward to it.
I'm terrified to see what
Katie... That is Travis asking that.
I am terrified to see what Katie's going to do next.
Oh, yeah. Katie with her her highwayman lord with a horse.
No, so is it like Zorro, or does everybody know your guy?
She hasn't told us. I don't know what her backstory is.
The highwayman identification and the lord identification, does it keep one of those secret from the other like Zorro and Batman do? Or is he just like a rich dude who robs people and everybody's like, oh, that's Bill Gates robbing me. Well, okay.
Well, no, you can't know that I'm robbing people, because then how am I supposed to use my influence as a rich person?
Yeah, she has points in disguise.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you start with points in disguise as a highwayman.
You know nothing about me, Nathan.
That's true. Andy, were you going to make a human, or were you going to go with an ogre, or what were you going to do?
I'm definitely going to make something different.
Something non-human?
Non-human.
Nate, what are you thinking?
Because originally, I was going to be
what we were going to be.
When Marshall was going to run it, I was going to do a Gobber Jack Marshall.
Okay.
But I don't know. Maybe.
Well, he said as long as the majority were human, and the three of us all picked humans.
Yeah, so might do a Gobber Jack Marshall.
He did say no war jacks, I believe.
I can have a shitty labor jack.
I think he said no war jacks.
No war jacks, no war cast. He might not want a war caster.
You should double check. Because
he will text someone here very shortly.
I'm sure one of us will get a text very shortly.
I wouldn't even need, like, it could be, number one, if I had a jack, it doesn't have to be a war jack. I could have the equivalent of, like, a, you know, the robot with four, like, a sure. pack mule. And number two, I didn't even need a robot. I can basically be a tinker who.
You could.
I don't need
you can make us cool guns.
Having a jack does not define me as a jack marshal.
I feel like it does.
No, my ability to marshal jacks. I could be a professional race car driver and not own a race car.
I feel like you could not.
You
would be a former professional race car driver.
Because somebody could call me and say, hey, you're a race car driver. Yes, I am. Great, we have a car we need you to drive in a race next weekend, and I could go do it. I don't need to own my own car to be, you know, a race car driver for hire, basically.
I feel like this is a technical question that we should ask Travis, and I don't care about
it. If Jack Marshall is a job, I'm going to take it, even if it doesn't come with a war jack.
He says you can play a Jack Marshall.
Yeah.
No mage hunters.
That's what it was.
See, Travis has my back.
All right. So that was the end of the Zappity.
Can I be an actual mage? And can I have skill? Because
none of us can hunt you.
He didn't have a problem with, like, Will Weaver or something. He just didn't want the Mage Hunter classification.
No, but
because you have to be an elf, and
he's changing the adjective. He's going to be a mage who hunts, not someone who hunts mages.
I'm
going to
look for deer and other things.
He's going to use his mage sight to kill deer.
Yeah.
Arcane bolt that deer!
Yeah, it's cooked already then. It's perfect.
Zappity.
Grumble. That's the end of the Zappities and the Grumbles.
Right. Recommendations of the day.
Does that mean you have one?
We could just end the podcast here.
No.
We have recommendations.
Is it 100 minutes?
It's more than 100. We went over.
No. If we
would stop right now, it would be very close because I have the chop off.
We have
Brian's recommendation.
We have recommendations.
Go.
I'm going to recommend a PS4 game that is currently free, Injustice.
God amongst people.
God, it's among men. It's the ultimate edition on the PS4. God's among men. It's just a simple DC superhero fighting game, kind of like Mortal Kombat. But it has a very cool story. It's basically you fight a mission, and then you got your characters talking, things happen, and then you naturally get into another battle, and then you just kind of go through. I'm only playing the campaign mode. I have no interest to play versus online. But it's really cool. I mean, it's free, and I'm enjoying that aspect of free.
Free is fun.
And I'm kind of playing it between WoW.
Makes sense.
That's a cool game. And if you have, again, it's free.
Very cool.
Your professor is out of scale with our sci-fi people.
That is true.
He's a monster among men.
Spock will fight him.
I recommend a series of books by Lev Grossman, I believe, L-E-V. They're the Magician Trilogy. The first one's just called The Magicians. The second one is The Magician King. And the third one is The Magician's Land. I'm actually like halfway through the third one right now. But they're really good. The first one is like blatantly a ripoff of Harry Potter and the Chronicles of Narnia slammed together.
Nice.
Basically, if a kid obsessed with Narnia was then discovered the whole Hogwarts thing and became a wizard and is like, cool, if wizardry's real, I want to fucking find Narnia now because that's got to be real too. And so it was pretty cool. And then there's adventures and shit like that. The first one's like a standalone. The only flaw that I've really found in it. So the first one's a standalone book, and hooray for that. And then at that point, he's like, well, you know what? I guess I'll do a trilogy. Okay. And so he then the second and third book he wrote them, and I'm enjoying them very much, but it obviously was intended to be a trilogy, not a second standalone book and a third standalone book. So the second book ends very randomly. You're like reading, you're like, oh, the book's over. I guess the next page is in this next book, and you just like grab the next book.
Well,
like,
there is no climax. The third,
yeah.
Which is a problem with the Game of Thrones,
exactly,
because you didn't have it handy.
Yes. Yeah. So the second book, it's not even like, imagine Empire Strikes Back.
Sure.
Except you don't even have the Vader lightsaber duel. It's just like you're watching the movie, and then it's just like, okay, see you for the next one. And there's no climax. So the second book really doesn't have a goddamn climax, and it's kind of weird. But apart from that, they're really good.
That's what she
they're
said.
Well written. Woo!
Very cool.
How about sex with me is what you're implying.
Lev.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lally B and the Grossman's. Yeah, Grossman. I'll double check that's the correct spelling. But
Very cool. Katie Marie?
I don't have any recommendations. I recommend Sleeping Tired.
Oh, I'm going to fuck the sleep out of Sleeping.
And Grossman is just like Grossman. Grossman.
I think I've heard of that author, but I've never read that particular series, so I'm actually
But it's good because, like, to assuage part of the whole Harry Potter ripoff, he does all 5 years and graduates from Magic College in, like, a third of the first book. Like, it's mostly, nice. it's just like, and then year two happened, and then year three, and then five, and then I graduated the end. Like, it's very uneventful, his actual attending school, so it kind of burns through.
It's just now I'm a wizard.
Right.
Okay, interesting.
Boom.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Yes.
I am going to recommend something that's going to happen this Tuesday. Some of you may already know what that is, which is Clockwork Vox, which is one of the only podcasts I actually listen to. We've talked about this as a group before, both on and off air. But now that we record a podcast, that's the time we would maybe perhaps spend listening to one, but instead we record one. So I actually listen to Clockwork Vox and really enjoy it. The guys that put it on are Alex Schaefer and J.R. Oldridge, and I'll never get to know what the R stands for.
Rodriguez.
So anyway,
Jacqueline Rodriguez Oldridge.
Well, his first name is definitely John.
No, that's what he wants you to think.
That's what he wants you to think.
Jacqueline.
What's up?
I have a personal recommendation that is that my brother Jeremy needs to pay the yearly subscription fee to re-up his Barnes & Noble card. Because I forgot about I bought a book like 2 weeks ago, and they're like, do you have a Barnes & Noble card? I'm like, yes, I do. And I gave him my brother's phone number because we all just
do.
And I thought I was the only one who did that. And I just got a group text to me and my brother and my dad from my other brother saying, Jeremy needs to re-up his fucking Barnes & Noble card.
<That's>
so
amazing.
Apparently we've all just been leeching off of him.
We use Katie's mom's, which is coming up soon for re-up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But the lady at the cash register, so I use it, and the lady's like, you know, if this expires tomorrow, would you like to re-up it? And I'm like, no, I would not.
Thank you for that information, though.
But you get none of my money.
We usually use each other's Amazon Prime and Netflix accounts, too.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, Zappity Grumble, Clockwork Vox. It's very good. They keep it short, unlike us. And they keep it topical to War Machine, also unlike us.
And they have catchy folk music.
And they have very fun music at the intro. I was going to have Andy insert the music at the beginning, but I forgot to tell him ahead of time. So, But anyway, very cool. Clockwork Vox. Check it out. Also, there's a website called Clockwork Fox, which is different, but also funny.
It's pretty cool.
My recommendation is to go check out and be amazed by the weirdness of Birdman.
I am shocked that Brian and I weren't the first people in this podcast to see that movie.
Well, we were supposed to go see it.
I know.
We're going to see it some night in the news. Everyone
Katie, you wound up working or something.
Andy is definitely the person I least expected to be the one on this podcast.
Agreed.
No,
it's fucking Michael Keaton.
I know, but it's also...
It's Michael Keaton.
It is Michael Keaton, but it's
weird. I like Michael Keaton a lot. Yeah.
Multiplicity is finally on Netflix, by the way. I started watching it with Katie, and then we got to the point literally where he makes a double, and she's like, this is depressing, and he has a stressful life. I want to go to bed.
It gets
like literally he just made the double.
Now the stress goes away because he's a double.
It was too high.
He was like, you were like, this is like my life. I can't handle it.
Yeah, that's basically what she said.
Much. I was like, I can't watch this.
But you're about to find out how much better, quote unquote, it gets when there's a second one of you to take care of stuff.
Yeah, you gotta finish it up. But
yeah. But anyway, so it's on Netflix now, which I was very excited about.
That's like stopping halfway through Christmas Carol and saying, this guy's a dickhead.
Right?
I don't want to watch anything else.
This guy.
I have to go watch Multiplicity now. I didn't know it was on there.
Yeah, just...
Netflix has failed me. You should have known.
You know what else is on Netflix? All of Pee-wee's Playhouse. All of it. Every goddamn episode.
I didn't like that when I was a child. Why would I like it now?
Something I noted is that the opening theme song is approximately 17 minutes longer than I remember.
So, and on a side note, I just realized yesterday that Gene Hackman has not been in any movies since like 2004.
Well, he died three years ago.
He's not dead. Fuck you.
That's Gene Shalit.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, his will to live had died.
God.
North Korea
told Gene Hackman he wasn't allowed to be in any more movies.
We were talking about like movies like, you know.
No, Jeremy Shea.
Meanwhile, there's violence over there again.
There is some pond fog. There's horny Spock and Malcolm Reynolds kidnapping going on.
Take your phone instead.
All right. I'm part of this. All right, go on, Andy.
I'm done.
Jesus Christ. Chemical warfare. Perfume spraying. Okay, hostage exchange. No perfume spray. That's not really hostage exchange so much as blackmail.
But I'm begging for it.
I'm going to call it pulling a North Korean.
Damn it. Right. Well, North Korea, please save us.
Oh, I can smell that stuff now.
And on that note.
She didn't spray it.
But it took the cap off. That was enough.
No, we're out.
Right. Bye, everybody.
That was 100.
See
you're
you
welcome.
He's petting Nibbler.
No, he's nibbling her all right.